with more Drew and Mike in the Morning on 101 WRIF.
Eight after six at WRIF, and a little bit of precipitation this morning. You know, it was slick about an hour ago. I'm guessing it's probably not much on the highways and byways, maybe in the subs and whatnot, where there's not a lot of traffic, but really just some pretty snow this morning. Not much to bother your commute, I wouldn't think, although wait till we get to traffic. I'm sure we'll have some accidents. It's Valentine's Day, February the 14th. It's Tuesday. And here we are, traffic time, brought to you by the Detroit Tigers. Season tickets are on sale now. Multiple packages starting as low as $220. Call 313-471-2255. That's 313-471-2255. Or visit Tigers.com to get your season tickets today. Who's your Tiger? And they bring you traffic.
Hey, move your ass!
Nosy traffic jam. Traffic report will get me out of this one.
Maybe Stress is in an accident. He seems to be delayed a minute here. No, there he is. Stress, what's up?
Hey, weird connection there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I was on hold, but something sounded weird. I thought there was an issue, and sure enough. Anyway, well, it is slippery in spots depending on where you are as you head through your subdivision. Yeah, pretty slick there. Not much snow accumulation, just sort of a dusting eighth of an inch maybe, but just enough to slip around all over the place and some of the secondary roads. But you start getting into some of your major mile roads and get out the expressways, and pretty much just wet at this point and not an issue moving at posted speeds. However, tell that to the semi that is jackknife right now. On 96 eastbound, must be a little slipperier there than we realized. Right after Martin Luther King, jackknife semi blocking that whole mess. Look out for that. Another accident, 94 eastbound at US 23 on the left side. Pile up there. And another accident, 96 westbound, just before Novi with a wreckage on both shoulders. Police on the scene and the rest is all construction. So look out. Pretty crazy. Off to a bad start. That's out of traffic.
Okay, Trudy's brought to you by Right Way Auto Sales. Now at Right Way, get into a car, pickup, or SUV for only $49 down. That's right, $49 down, that's it. Regardless of your credit, regardless of your situation at Right Way, you are approved. Four locations waiting to approve you, Waterford, Clinton Township, Taylor, and Livonia.
Whitney was from L.A. to Newark overnight by Tyler Perry's Air Hearse Service. His private jets.
How nice of Tyler Perry. Whitney Houston doesn't have money to...
No. Yeah, that's the other part of the story, is that she blew through $100 million fortune.
Trudy, come on.
What?
Trudy.
What?
They
say from drugs and high living.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of high living is she doing?
High.
I mean, other than being high... Well, you know, I saw her her mansion, which is ridiculous. But does she have servants all over the place? And
I think it's you just may have a tendency to, you know, medicate yourself and feel like you deserve to buy whatever you want or go spend a lavish couple days in a hotel and blow some money.
She must live like a moron. I can't imagine how stupidly you would have to live so we're not talking about bad investments.
No, we're principally talking about just
slob.
Blowing through money with
a financial
alcohol.
Slob.
Yeah.
200 million records, not to mention the tours and all the other things, the merchandising and all the other crap.
She got that $100 million deal. The $100 million deal was in 2001. That's 11 years ago.
She was literally asking people for handouts, 100 here, 100 there.
That's what the Inquirer said. I didn't believe that.
Well, she got a titanium nose or what? They installed some... God, that's a lot of drugs.
Well, in the end, you know, it wasn't the blow. That actually, the blow probably would have saved her life. Because she was on the benzos, and they think alcohol, the champagne, combined with those to cause her to just conk. And now they believe that she didn't even drown, that her lungs were only half full of water, and it probably was the overdose. Yeah. And
wow.
There was a complex story about
she just died sitting there and slid into the water after the fact.
Crack is cheap. I made too much money to ever sell crack. Let's get that straight, okay? We don't do crack. We don't do that. Crack is whack.
You would think if your body is drowning, it would somehow manage to wake you up.
Yeah, you'd wake
right.
up.
Right. Well,
no matter how out of it you are, I like to think that.
That's the point that they've been making, though. With these certain kinds of drugs, they seem innocuous enough if you're just taking them the way you're instructed to. But then, you just do one thing, like, drink champagne, and there you go. It amplifies them to the point beyond where you have any kind of control. And they do say that it makes you forget to breathe. So, by the way, did you happen to see TMZ had a picture of the bathtub at the Beverly Hilton and an arrow pointing to an object in the bathtub?
Oh, a turd.
Which is identified.
No, Trudy!
No. A gravy dish.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a turd for sure.
No. I did too. I thought where we're going.
They would have cleaned the turd up.
No, not necessarily.
They were up there a good long time, nine hours.
You might want to leave it there for the lab guys as the ultimate joke.
I wouldn't clean it up.
No, and then you want the tabloids to get a shot of that, too. Don't take the turd out until the Globe gets their picture.
Or in this case, TMZ.
think of all your friends you could tell before it ever appeared somewhere and the great laugh they'd get when they saw it.
I would make sure that housekeeping got a few snaps on their cell phone before I cleaned that up.
Well, somebody did.
And it probably was a load in the tub, because when you die, you do let go of everything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For crying out loud. Is that the last thing I have to think of?
You're
going to
crack your pants.
Just remember, too, when you're in the casket, there's cotton in your butt.
Great.
That's a bummer.
Awesome.
Which is great.
I know. I was so bummed out with the mortician that told me what they do. It's like, no, don't tell me that.
Yeah, so now you have to share it with all of us. Every chance you get.
Because I figure if I'm stuck with this memory, if I'm stuck with this knowledge the rest of my life.
Cleanse it from your brain.
That you must suffer along with me.
Every time?
Every time. Every single time.
Wow. Anyway. The funeral is not yet planned. They're deciding, weighing between one of the Baptist churches where she grew up singing, or possibly the Prudential Center in Newark.
Is this going to be like Jackson's on TV and all that?
I would assume from the way that this so far has been handled.
Really?
Is Snooki the juggernaut that it is.
Are the Jersey Shore people going to be there? Situation and Snooki?
Sure. Yeah, they should take a moment to do a sensitive.
Yeah.
Episode,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But anyway, this overdose, or was it gravy contamination? But TMZ, of course, showing a really unflattering photo of her last meal, and she had a Heineken and some champagne laying around. And again, she also blew through all that money. And
she's drinking that stuff at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Probably.
Boy. Yuck.
Well, I mean, she was going down to the big party, the big Clive Davis pre-Grammy party, and she may have had some anxiety about that. So she pops a Xanax or an Ativan, or maybe both.
Or diazepam or Valium or all three.
And then she, has a little, she probably felt pretty elegant there. Glass champagne to relax. Just didn't realize how much she was going to relax. The party went on, by the way, downstairs without her. She lay upstairs cold and dead for 9 hours because they asked that they not remove her body while the party was ongoing. And people in attendance knew she was dead.
Really?
Yes.
Who cares about the stupid party? What the hell? Are you kidding?
They rationalized that she would have wanted the party to go on, although there are some people who said, no, she wouldn't have wanted the party to go on. She would have wanted it to stop.
Look how bummed out everybody was at the Grammys. It's like, if they're in a party and her body's upstairs, wouldn't those people that are so near and dear to her just want to stand there with a stoic look on their face, all bummed? And
I heard that on Saturday.
Who's shaking their fanny through all that?
Mm-hmm. Clive Davis addressed the party and said she would have wanted this party. It's like,
Clive just didn't want to cancel his party.
People tell you what dead people would have wanted.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. And why is it up to them anyway?
Yeah.
39.9 million people watched the Grammys thanks to Whitney Houston. They believed that she was a big help for that ratings.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's the biggest.
It beat last year's viewership by 50%.
Jackson won all the Grammys?
Yeah. And actually goes past the Oscars broadcast last year. which was seen by 37.6 million. So, a success story all the way around.
You know, I wanted to hear Jennifer Hudson sing the song.
The Bashara story. Whoa.
Oh, man. I saw this last
Winchester,
night. Like,
Winchester
oh
filing another ace report there.
Yeah.
Channel 4.
Hank's on fire.
Some plot variations. One might have been using insulin and heparin on Jane Bashara, injecting her with heparin, which is a blood thinner.
What's the insulin do? It knocks you out. You can put you in insulin shock and knocks you out so they can then do what they wanted to do otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And then they source this to Joe Gentz, who himself doesn't seem like he'd be real savvy about medical things.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't blood spell. True, he couldn't spell heparin, so he wrote it down. Yeah. He had the person write it down. Whoever
right.
the person is.
If what they say about his intellect is true, but heparin was used in the novel *Angels and Demons* to kill people. The Pope, actually. It would look like they bled to death. Say, had they been in a car accident, it was supposedly one of the plots. Now that actually, I don't think he could have come up with by himself.
Oh, no, not
no,
Joe.
Take one look at him. No. The answer is no.
The other fork in the tail of the subterranean lifestyle of Bob Bashara, or the alleged subterranean life, is a woman who now has come forward to say she hooked up with Big Bob and Bella, which would be Rachel Gillette, a few days before Jane's last day.
He gave me the impression that he did partake often, that he was well-versed in it, and that was pretty much that.
He knew what he was talking about within the fetish world.
Yes.
The fetish world.
Yeah. I want pictures, don't you?
I don't know if I want pictures.
Gross.
It might be a thing like cotton in your butt that I don't want to think about.
I have a feeling they'd be very fat, very laughable.
Very.
Possibly.
Unfortunately, I can see him in his leather garb.
My mind is gone there, too, unfortunately. I'm seeing like a strappy leather thing.
With a one-incher crammed into some leather harness.
Yeah. Right. The panty bomber wants that sentence just pitched out. Because Panty thinks it's unfair to serve a life sentence for a crime that didn't hurt anybody. And it's cruel and unusual punishment. Except if his panties hadn't been either humid or in a twist or whatever thwarted Al-Qaeda's best bomb maker's handiwork, he would have killed about 300 people and blown a plane up over Detroit, which, of course, would have impacted the people below it. Because he's a rich brat who was disillusioned and went to Yemen where some asswipe cleric made him feel special. Now, all of a sudden, he doesn't want to go to prison for life.
That's the end that always underway.
The idea that he was intercepted
so
no one died that you should be let off really cracks me up.
Well, you know, typically...
Incredible logic.
You know what's amazing, though? I always think of this when there's one of those attempted murders and somebody shoots at, I don't know, maybe it's their wife, maybe it's their ex-wife. They take four shots. They happen to be a bad shot. They miss. And so the person who's the good shot, who hits her right in the heart and kills her, he goes to jail for a long, long time. The person that misses four times... Maybe goes for a couple of years, attempted murder.
Yeah, because nothing happened.
Because he's lucky. He missed.
Yeah, nothing happened. You know, he was just screwing around. He wasn't even trying to kill the person. He was just giving them a warning shot just to blow their mind.
Well, no, but oftentimes they are trying. They just miss.
Yeah, but they can spin it any way they want afterward after they miss.
Oh, they can. Yeah, they can try.
Oh, I wasn't even trying to kill her. It's not that I missed. I just, you know, hey, I was just playing with their mind.
The
logic is incredible. You would think that attempted murder in cases like that would be as strong as the actual murder itself.
Well, certainly be closer, but I'm amazed too. The panty bomber, Trudy. How long does it take to put this dork
away?
Can you believe this? How long it takes?
Yeah, it has
takes
to take
forever for everything.
You know, I mean, they had to have hearing after hearing after hearing for him. You know, because he stalled by having, you know, introducing himself as his own lawyer, and yet he had to have a backup lawyer. And he didn't like his backup.
That's on purpose.
Because the backup wasn't sympathetic enough to his cause and didn't come to see him enough.
Phil Spector did the same thing. It's like whenever there's a change in attorneys, then they have to be given X amount of time for the new attorney to come up to speed.
It's just an exercise in wasting enormous amounts of time.
Absolutely.
Running the clock down.
Definitely.
Housing sales are up in Michigan. Healthy increases in January, up 7%. And did you see Apple stock yesterday soaring past
$500?
$500 a share.
God.
And they've made way beyond a buttload. This is into a bleep ton of money, $468 billion. The highest market value of any company. ExxonMobil is a distant second to them. But Google, Goldman, General Motors, Ford, Starbucks, and Boeing combined exceeded by Apple's profit.
Wow.
See what happens when you pay your workers $17 a week for 12-hour shifts with no benefits, living in dormitories, 8 workers to a room? You save money. The bottom line.
Why don't they split that stock? I mean, to the average investor, they think $500 a share. Jeez.
Wow, yeah.
To buy 10 shares, it costs $5,000.
Yeah. Well, that's his mind for you. That's
the Apple never splits shares?
No one ever seems to split shares anymore.
And they have...
Yeah, they will eventually.
They have a new iPad coming out, too.
Yeah,
so
iPad 3 coming down the pike.
Huger. Jerry Sandusky, by the way, cannot... he can, actually. Permission to troll around in your backyard, eye showering with every little kid you see on the playground.
Sando!
Near your house. No problem. And he can visit with his grandchildren, too, says a judge in Pennsylvania. Hugh Hefner's kid, arrested for domestic violence. He whacked on the Playmate of the Year. 2011 Playmate of the Year, Claire Sinclair. Punched and kicked her. And then he wouldn't let her leave the house. After that, the police arrived at their residence after a relative of Claire called 911 saying she was being attacked. He was released on $20,000 bail. You know what Hef's kid's name is, right?
What is it?
Marston.
Nice having a loser
Marston.
Kid.
His Hef. Kid looks just like him, too, with that big gap tooth,
what a
goofy face.
Name.
So this kid obviously is just a spoiled putz and thinks he can just put his boner anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, dates little women that daddy has
centerfolds
laying around, yeah, on the count. By the way, Kate Upton, the model known lately for that bouncy beach video, Baywatchy, and very bouncy, and now every dude's Valentine. She's the cover girl for Sports Illustrated. Upton, incidentally, is proof that Michigan is healing from its sick economy. She grew up in Florida, but her uncle is Representative Fred Upton, and her great-grandfather invented the washing machine and is founder of the Whirlpool Corporation. So, you've seen it?
I saw her picture.
Yeah. Not impressed?
I thought she looked good. I don't know if she's the hottest of the hot.
Yeah, she looked good.
She's pretty hot.
Jeez.
Well, the picture I saw is her
what
walking
does it take?
On the beach. It was, I'm sure there's a better picture of her.
Okay. Trudy Daniels with Front Row Radio News.
All right. Wings going for the big one tonight. 21 in a row. Joey's hard at work right now on our, trying to find out what the longest streak is, baseball, basketball, football, college football. I'm sure there's some longer ones out there, but 20 in a row, man, pretty strong. And to go after the record tonight with your backup goalie, really strange kind of circumstance. And if we can get through this stretch with Joey McDonald, should get Howard back at the end of the week, so that'd give the team a boost. So anyway, that's sports and more right after this.
101 WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit. Drew and Mike in the morning.
You can make a noise and I will see if I can hear it.
Okay. Let me shut the door.
Make a noise.
Did you hear me?
A little.
101 WRIF.
United Wholesale Mortgage is looking for talented candidates to join their dynamic team. Work in Birmingham for a top lender experiencing explosive growth. If you're a mortgage underwriter or have mortgage processing experience, they have immediate openings. United Wholesale Mortgage is also hiring mortgage sales professionals, closers, and other entry-level mortgage positions. Submit your resumes or apply online at uwm.com. United Wholesale Mortgage has immediate openings. Don't wait. Apply today at uwm.com. Once again, that's uwm.com.
Valentine's Day is today. Are you still looking for that perfect something to get your loved one? Listen up. WRAF has an exclusive offer for the first 15 callers. Call now and get this Valentine's Day special from Michigan's largest florist, Thrifty Florist. Call 888-THRIFTY right now and order a dozen vased red roses, a Valentine's balloon, and teddy bear for only $65.99. With your order, you'll receive a $50 gift certificate to Macaroni Grill for free. That's right, a $50 Macaroni Grill gift card for free. What an incredible deal. Guys, this is only available at Thrifty Florist for a limited time, so avoid the rush. Call 888-THRIFTY now and don't miss out. Or let the Thrifty Florist staff create a beautiful bouquet starting as low as $9.99, vased arrangements starting at $19.99, and wrapped roses for only $32.99 per dozen. Thrifty Florist is located on major intersections throughout Metro Detroit with extended holiday hours for Valentine's Day. Call 888-THRIFTY or shop online at thriftyflorist.com. Say a lot for a little with Thrifty Florist.
While Drew and Mike are busy, oh geez, while they're in commercials, here's more Riff Rock on WRIF.com.
We'll be right back.
35 WRIF. Hey, it's Valentine's Day, everybody. We'll go to the doghouse right after the sports. Some pretty good stories yesterday. By the way, if we like your doghouse story, I mean, if we really like it, you'll get a gift card to a Thrifty Florist with bouquets starting as low as $9.99, vased arrangements starting at $19.99, and gift box roses at $38.99 per dozen. Also, pick up a gift card to Lover's Lane, reminding you to be the candy this Valentine's Day because the couples that play together stay together. And also a gift card to P.F. Chang's China Bistro in Troy at the Somerset Collection. Not to throw a big cold shower on all this, but did you see Hank's story on Bob? Bob and his crazy dungeon ways?
No, I did not. I'm anxious to see it, however.
Well, apparently, according to all their sources, Bob should stop denying this because it just leads to more. Well, I guess we get to do a little more research and find out more just to bust Bob for lying.
Yeah, just keep, cut it out. There's so many witnesses. It's just such a given. It's pathetic. It's just stupid to keep denying it. All he's doing is keeping the spotlight on the issue longer and longer and longer.
Yeah, there are enough people that, want the truth to be told, unfortunately.
That's right. If he keeps batting it down, they're going to keep marching forward to,
you got it,
explain it. I mean, there's that one woman who literally watched the man go in and out of his dungeon. Cut it out. Stop it.
Trudy had that chick who sounds so like a guy when they alter her voice.
Oh, I know. It drives me nuts, that voice altering. Cut out, Hank.
She was on the news last night talking about how he had an updated, like a state-of-the-art dungeon facility.
State-of-the-art, really?
And she had seen him and Bella at some party 3 days before Jane died, some freak S&M party.
Well, the guy is listed all over the place as Master Bob. Come on. State-of-the-art dungeons, huh? It's got press a button and the clamps come down and all kinds of cool stuff.
I don't know what
auto whips. Maybe you can automatically whip your own self if you like.
And just for the record, they didn't say state of the art, but it was something like that.
Okay.
Something like state of the art. I'm sure you think of the term.
Well, they certainly didn't spend it on the area outside the dungeon. That I do know.
Oh, that place. That not that place.
No. No.
Oh, brother.
Oh, how nauseating.
What up, Bob?
Have we made any progress on the open marriage issue as well?
Well, yeah, apparently he considered himself to be in an open marriage, but, you know, her family, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Of course, came out to say she was not in any open marriage.
No way.
Bob might have thought he was in one, but he was in one by himself.
Yeah, and therein is the problem.
I just had such a feeling that she was not considering herself to be in an open marriage.
Oh, no way in hell. God, what a drag for a family to have to listen to that garbage.
I know. It's really terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's bad enough you lost her. Then you got to hear that while you're, you know, with your memories of her. Jesus.
But, you know, if they think that's bad, they should probably give the Houston family a call and let them know what the next couple weeks are going to be like.
Yeah.
God, Whitney Houston broke. That is just incredible.
I know. How can you possibly spend that kind of money? That goes to show you. You can... No matter how much you're worth, no matter how much you can spend it, I mean, it's...
Well, if you're an idiot.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
And I don't know if it's that easy.
Well, hell, I could spend it in no time, man. I go out for one thing, you go out there and buy 4 Gulfstream jets. Done.
Sure you could.
There you go. There's 160 million right there, not counting...
I'm willing to bet that, that Whitney Houston had a lot of people around her, probably a bunch of loser hangers-on.
Oh,
who
God.
Who just drained her of piles of cash.
Oh, my God. As did Bobby. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the cash that dude was siphoning off, plus his entourage? You know, that guy went nowhere without a dozen creeps around him.
Well, there was a story last night about Whitney Houston's father, who apparently somehow cumulatively borrowed about $1 million from Whitney.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to name her as the beneficiary in his life insurance. So he dies in 2003, I think it was, and sure enough, she's his beneficiary, but her stepmother, his second wife, sued for the life insurance saying, hey, I'm his frickin' wife, that's his daughter, she's a multimillionaire, and it sounded like the stepmother might have won. So Whitney loans her father $1 million and then gets booted out in the lawsuit as a beneficiary so doesn't get it back.
Wow.
Nice.
That's not how it's supposed to go.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing about having that kind of cash. Everybody just thinks there's no end to it. And if you're, you know, if you're sloppy about it, and can you imagine how many people must have been leeching off her in order to go through that money?
Endless. Oh,
we've seen that with other people. You know, Tractor Trailer. When he played for Michigan and RIP Tractor Trailer, there's another good one that died young. Tractor Trailer, according to the Free Press story I read, was at one point supporting 17 family members.
Oh,
and we're not talking about his 14 kids, you know, and an aunt and his wife. We're talking, I'm not even sure if he had kids. He might have had a couple, but it was cousins and brothers and sisters and... moms and dads and aunts and uncles. I mean, it was a bunch of pretty able-bodied adults who rather than just have a job and just, you know, have all kinds of pride in their cousin, Robert, the pro basketball player, just thought, hey, why should I work? Look at Robert's ship came in. Hey, Robert, would you mind supporting me? Yeah, no problem. How would you even ask someone? If you're an adult, how do you even ask someone, hey, Whitney, look, I heard you got that $100 million contract. I really don't feel like working, and I'm not getting welfare anymore. I've really run through the 5 years. Would you mind just writing me a check every month? It'll be nothing to you. You got $100 million now. Just write me a check for like $3,000 a month.
Yeah, that's always the case when somebody has that much cash. It's like, come on, you won't even feel it. You know, that's the big argument.
Yep.
Like as if you'll feel that. $100 million, are you kidding?
Hey, just one paycheck a year, that's all I ask.
Think how much money you're making in interest. My God. Come on, I'm just saying, just give me the interest on a couple of $1 million, and that'll do me.
Well, I wish they would give us kind of the anatomy of going through $100 million in a decade?
She made money too.
Do you know her catalog?
By the time it's said and done, maybe they will list what went wrong. I got to believe somebody will when by the time it's over with.
Her catalog sold fairly well. I mean, she earned money. It's not like she wasn't making money these years.
Oh, definitely.
Not like her big money years, but she was making a nice, tidy sum. Who's the... Mark, we saw that story about the guy that played for the Celtics who went through $100 and some million.
Antoine Walker,
thank you. He wanted to retire at one point, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, and his accountant said, Antoine, are you kidding? You can't retire. You don't have any money. And he's like, what do you mean I don't have no money? I've been making $10-12 million for the last 10 years. He's like, yeah, well, it's pretty much gone. And this guy had no idea, no earthly idea that he was close to being out of cash. He had been...
Where did all that go? Where was it? Where was okay, that money going that he was making?
First of all, I don't think he had any kids, did he? Wasn't it all his entourage?
Yeah. Remember that was our big complaint because he had 10 guys in his entourage, so he had to get 10 hotel rooms.
Yeah, and they were all buddies.
He wouldn't even have them double up.
Right. Yeah, they all had to have suites.
Yeah.
And they all had to sleep by themselves, and he would take his 10, 12, in one case, 30 friends to Las Vegas, hell, to anywhere he felt like going. They would just fly there. He'd take care of all their hotel rooms. And, yeah, as Mark said, no one doubled up.
What a cool guy.
He'd take them out for dinners at the best restaurants.
Can you imagine?
They'd go to clubs. These guys would drink the best liquor.
He was a slumlord, too, remember?
Imagine being part of that.
Yeah, he had a bunch of real crappy apartment buildings, and they did a terrible job for the people. They never fixed anything, never took care of them, never updated anything. But I think those ended up, did they burn down? Remember that he had something tragic happened in his slumlord career as well.
I know they would flood all the time.
I think they may have been condemned, and he might have been out on that because he had. But a big part of his chunk of money went to an entourage, a huge entourage of friends. None of them worked; they just lived off him.
Boy, what a life!
He's still playing basketball. That's a good thing.
And he's not making nearly the money he used to make.
No, he's playing in the G League.
His friends must have loved that, though, because he wanted to do that. I mean, so they're just like, yeah, they don't even have to ask for it. He wants them to live like that. Here, yeah, man, I want you to have this suite. Listen, go nuts, man.
Oh, the other part I forgot about. They went to casinos frequently. They'd fly out to Vegas, and he'd give these guys money to lose gambling, too. So these guys would lose a couple grand gambling. Whatever.
He's like the ultimate... The ultimate Elvis, you know, for him, probably for him, well, not probably, obviously, for him, you know, he wanted a constant party around him, and he was willing to buy the party, and so here's all of his buddies, and he couldn't be happier as long as he's surrounded by his friends, and he's, you know, he wants them to have the identical good time he's going to have, and so, hey, cash for all.
That's what he was arrested for, was writing bad check to the casinos.
Oh, maybe that's how he figured it all out. What? My check's not good? Oh, my God.
Yeah, eventually people like that begin to take advantage of people like him, too. You know, it's like at first it starts off like, oh, man, thank you. And after a while it's like expected.
Well, I think it's pretty much taking advantage of somebody when you do it 3 or 4 times. But this went on for years.
Boy.
Just party, party, party.
Well, wasn't it Scottie Pippen? Isn't that the ultimate story? The story you would always tell me about with the private jet that did him in real estate investments as well.
It did in his agent, really. Scotty came out of it okay, but this guy begged him not to get a private jet. And this guy said, Michael Jordan has one.
Yeah.
Why can't I have one? If he can have one, I can have one. I'm still playing. He's not even playing anymore.
Yeah.
So this guy begged him. Not worth it, Scotty. Please. It's so expensive. You won't believe how expensive it is. So Scotty decided, I got to have it anyway. So the guy actually gets him a deal where he's splitting one with another party.
Yeah.
And Scotty, after about 6 months, I think, and they had like a 4-year lease or something like that. After about 6 months, his wife says, Scotty, this plane is killing us. Can't have this damn plane. Look how expensive this is. So Scotty goes to the agent, man, you didn't tell me this thing was going to be this expensive. And the guy's like, I did too. I begged you not to get that stupid plane. So Scotty just stops paying on it. Just says, I'm not paying for this crap. You screw you, man. What a ripoff. And so this guy had apparently signed something along the way that he was, you know, responsible. Scotty was responsible, and he was his backup. And anyway, the agent ended up getting screwed.
Oh, no.
Because Scotty spread the word that this guy was a shyster, and he ripped him off, and he killed him on this airplane. And so this guy got completely screwed. I'm not sure if he even represents anybody in the NBA anymore.
Oh, and then you always hear, too, about some of these, you know, these big cash deals gone wrong. A lot of it's real estate investments that go awry. Bad managers. It's incredible how much cash people can blow through.
Well, I think
whether it's Mike Tyson or, I mean, God.
I think one of the worst things people can do, and a lot of them do it, Cecil Field is a good example, is they go into business.
Yes.
You know, Cecil went into the classic car business.
Oh, God, yes.
And he didn't know anything about the classic car business, and he had to put a lot of money out, had to borrow a lot of money. The business, of course, went wah-wah, belly up.
Yeah. God, that stuff's costly.
Just put it in the bank. Buy a few mutual funds. Buy some bonds. Do something safe. You should never lose if you're making that kind of money for a few years. You should be set for life. But, of course, other people have lots of great ideas for you.
Oh, definitely.
Sports at 6:48. Brought to you by Adam. Many guys go through divorce, feel like the deck is stacked against them. Divorce, that's another area where a lot of these guys go south.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, Whitney probably lost in her divorce, too. I bet you Bobby Brown got some money in that divorce.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Anyway, a lot of guys feel like the deck is stacked against them in the divorce world. Let Adam level the playing field for you. Call Adam, 248-356-ADAM. And how about the Wings? 20 in a row. They go for 21 tonight against the Stars. And what are some of the numbers during this streak? Well, the goaltending's been amazing. They've had two games in which they've given up three goals in the 20. The other 18, two goals or less. And in, let's see, I think it's 12 or 13 of the games they've given up one goal or less. Four shutouts, really strong goaltending. I mean, the most goals in 20 games, three? Very good. As far as scoring, in the 20 games so far, Datsyuk has 5 goals and 19 assists. Filppula, 7 goals and 14 assists. Franzen, 11 goals and 9 assists. Lidstrom, 6 goals and 11 assists. And Zetterberg, 7 goals and 10 assists. So you got basically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys averaging almost a point a game in that home winning streak. And ran into Meltdown yesterday. You know, we're in the parking lot getting out of here. Meltdown, you know what a hockey groupie he is.
Oh, definitely.
He actually, in the offseason, he plays pickup hockey with God, Lidstrom and McCarty and these guys.
Crazy.
Will play with anybody, and he's made friends with some of these guys. Anyway, he went out for beers the other night with a couple of the Red Wings, and so Lidstrom's there, and they're talking about the classic next year, you know, the January 1st thing in Ann Arbor, and of course, Meltdown's like, hey, Nick, there's another reason for you to stick around. You got to play in the Classic. And he said, Lidstrom said, yeah, I want to play in that thing in Ann Arbor. And then the next day I'm going to retire and play in Comerica Park. And the alumni came.
Wait, Meltdown plays hockey with those guys?
Yes.
He never talks about it.
He plays. Yeah, right.
No idea. He never talks about it. I'm never. Oh, wait. He talks about it every day. Every time you see him.
I told you he's a hockey groupie.
If I play with those guys, I would mention it every second, too.
He got Jimmy Howard in the All-Star game. It's amazing. And, he, you know, he really didn't get credit for that either. Should have at least gotten a mention somewhere, for crying out loud. Anyway, they go for 21 tonight, and it'll be the Stars, so not an easy opponent. They'll need a good performance, and I'm sure they'll get one. And I don't you feel like they're going to get this streak?
Definitely.
That place was crazy on Sunday night, and I bet you they'll have a great crowd tonight. The last, really, since about, since post-All-Star game, the home crowds have been just crazy, just wild, as this streak has become more and more publicized. Meanwhile, excuse me, the NHL suspended Flyers forward Zach Rinaldo for 2 games for launching to hit Jonathan Erickson on Sunday. League announced that yesterday. Ben Wallace says this is his last year in the NBA, and this is for real. 37-year-old Wallace decided to come back for his 16th season. He's now tied with Avery Johnson for the most games played by an undrafted player since the NBA-ABA merger. And Wallace will break that mark tomorrow night when the Pistons host the San Antonio Spurs. Jeremy Lin continues to be the amazing phenomenon. The league has just gone nuts over this guy. In fact, after the Pistons beat the Nets on Friday night, usually they would either, you know, rush out of the locker room, head off to do their business, or sometimes they'll hang around and watch the latest NBA game or whatever game is on. Well, Jeremy Lin was on, the Knicks and the Lakers. Every player stuck around to watch the end of the game, and apparently the locker room just erupted when Lin ended up leading the Knicks to that 92-85 victory. 38 points he had that night.
He's been fantastic, man. Did you see that record he set? Most points in your first five starts?
Is that right? Is that an NBA record?
That is an NBA record.
Good God.
It used to be held. I think the top four are Jordan, Iverson, and Shaq, and now Jeremy Lin has topped them all. I think 105 points in his first four starts.
He's averaging 27 points a game, 8.3 assists, and 2 steals.
He's been cut
that
twice
is incredible.
This year. Yeah.
What were his college stats? Did he play at Harvard?
Yeah, he was good at
what
Harvard.
What did he average there? How many points?
I'll look it up. I mean, he was undrafted.
Right. But, apparently he doesn't. Apparently he just doesn't impress people in tryout situations. He's not super quick, super fast, but he's got a lot of moves, and he's just a relentless guy. He's got a good shot, very good shot.
It sounds like people tried to make him a two, you know, when he's a true point guard, that kind of thing. But I remember him at Harvard because I think SI did a big expose on him because he's Asian American,
right?
You know,
well he is. Let's see. What is that? Is he the first Asian American to start in the NBA?
Yeah. Sophomore year, he averaged 12.6 points. Was all Ivy, second team. Senior year, he averaged 16.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists.
That's still 16's a lot in college. It's a lot of points.
That's good. It's just the fact that he was in the Ivy League.
Well, Michael Jordan averaged 16 points a game at North Carolina. The joke used to be, Dean Smith's the only guy that could hold Michael Jordan under 20 a game, and he did. But Jeremy Lin was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, too, after averaging 27 points and 8 assists, and the Knicks on fire, 4-0, and New York has just gone crazy over this guy.
If you haven't watched him play, watch him play. He's pretty exciting to watch play.
I love the moves, the inside moves. Yeah. I mean, he's really, he just does things other guys don't do.
He's so deceptive.
Yeah.
He doesn't look as quick as he is, and he's huge for a point guard.
You know, how tall is he?
6'3".
Draymond Green is Big Ten Player of the Week. He had 17 points and 10 rebounds a game. They had that win against Ohio State, which ended their 39 home winning streak, 39 game. And also they beat Penn State. Meanwhile, Michigan State moves up to number 7 in the AP, number 8 in the USA Today Top 25. Michigan is 17th and 19th in those two polls. Freddie Solomon dies, 59-year-old former Dolphin and 49er wideout, had 371 catches in an 11-year NFL career. Randy Moss planning a comeback.
Walters just scoffed at that.
Freddie Solomon?
Could you call him a former Dolphin instead of 49er?
No, I said both, didn't I?
I said Dolphin first.
First. Didn't he end his career with the Dolphins?
Maybe. I mean, well, in that case, Joe Montana was a Chief.
And Namath was a Ram.
Yeah.
How many years did Freddie Solomon play with the 49ers?
Probably more with the Dolphins.
Probably.
Honestly, I don't know. I do remember him playing with the Dolphins, though.
Really?
Yeah, I certainly didn't think anyone in this market would give a crap. Well, whatever. Randy Moss plans an NFL comeback. He turned 35 on Monday. That's not that old. I was surprised he sat out this season, to be honest, although I don't think interest in him was all that great. He has almost 15,000 yards receiving, 153 touchdowns in 13 seasons. His last year, 2010, that's when he was traded all over the league. He started with the Pats, and he went to Favre and the Vikings, and Favre wasn't playing that well. He finished the season with the Titans. He had career lows, 28 catches for about 400 yards. He did catch 23 touchdown passes in 2007. That's a single-season NFL record. And boys' production did drop mightily since then. Hey, what's the feel for Manning in 2012? Assuming, of course, that the Colts don't sign him. Dolphins, the favored journeyman Matt Moore showed promise after replacing injured Chad Henne, but owner Steve Ross seeks a big-name fan magnet. Dolphins have a good line, too. They've got Brandon Marshall. Reggie Bush is a tailback. Got a rising on defense. Manning grew up a huge fan of Dan Marino, too, so would... Would that be a fit? Well, they like it. The Redskins also apparently going to throw up some money or try to throw some money at him. To their way of thinking, the Redskins have been a quarterback away since Mark Rippon left after that Super Bowl in, let's see, 93. Mike Shanahan hasn't won a Super Bowl since John Elway retired. Rex Grossman and John Beck combined for 24 interceptions last season, so they certainly need the help. Shanahan builds around a quarterback's strengths. Remember Jake Plummer's 2005 Pro Bowl season? Shanahan's a play-action running game devotee and has stockpiled tailbacks Tim Hightower, Helu, and Evan Royster. Daniel Snyder can atone for his biggest free agent fiasco, $100 million bust, Albert Haynesworth, with one of the game's greatest leaders. Seattle apparently interested as well. They're currently going with Tavares Jackson. Charlie Whitehurst is the backup. There's the Jets, and, God, would the Jets do this? That would be interesting, wouldn't it, with Mark Sanchez, who really sucks. He's supposed to be the future there, though. I mean, that would be a real – that'd be a,
nobody on that team wants him to be their quarterback.
It would be a major admission for the Jets to give up on Mark Sanchez. He did regress, though, clearly. He is not moving forward exactly. And then finally the Colts, if they should jump in there, but it seems doubtful at this point. The A's now have a new highest-paid player, and it's the Cuban guy, Yenis Cespedes. They're going to pay him $36 million for 4 years, and how incredible. He's going to be the highest-paid player on the very frugal Oakland A's team. And then, let's see, is there another baseball story? Nope, that's it. That's sports. 658 WRIF, and can we get some doghouse music? I can find the doghouse stories a minute ago. Any new ones, by the way?
Been printing them off. I love that one we had late yesterday about the double dong party. That was pretty nice. The guy's brother wasn't there, so actually the old cell phone was at the ready, took the video.
Oh,
his wife went to use the phone and ran headlong into the double dong.
Bachelor party
action.
Woo!
And that's pretty much it for him.
Sweet.
Couch ever since. And he probably should, I want to think about giving him some flowers, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For the double dong story.
Yeah, he heard us read it on the air. He's all jacked. Do I get flowers?
He's all jacked.
Oh, poor choice of words.
Jacked. Yeah, I know.
He was very excited, let's put it that way. I'll print some of the new ones.
You know, I had like five stories over here. You know, I'll find them in a minute. But while we're waiting for me to stop being so clueless, what the hell did I do with those? They were just sitting here.
Yeah, boy. They all lose.
No, I'll find them. Nope. Don't worry.
They're all out of the doghouse. You're in the doghouse now.
They're the last ones that came in yesterday. Maybe if you reprint them.
Yeah, I'll print them.
I think you printed them off this morning, Mark, or somebody late yesterday. But I'll tell you what, this is even more amusing. This Free Press column last week, which was kind of beating on Kid Rock and the whole Made America thing, Made in America program he's got.
That is the most, that response from Kid Rock is just so precious.
And, you know, I thought it was really pretty fitting, to be honest, because I don't know why somebody here locally would want to question this thing.
I know. And for what he has done for charities and business around Detroit and what he is trying to do with Made in Detroit and rescuing the company and all that from bankruptcy and creating some jobs and his future plans with them as far as warehouses and all that sort of thing along the riverfront. I mean, to twist up the story like that and color it that way, yeah, I can understand. That would be very frustrating.
And she does have some, there's some inaccuracies to the story. I'm sure she's right on a few points, but I don't know why, I just don't know why the need to pick on Kid Rock. I mean, if he's anybody's guy, he's Detroit's guy. And if nothing else, wouldn't it have been nice if she had talked to him first?
Well, yeah.
And maybe gotten his point, because once you read what Kid Rock says about this, I'll just read her column and we'll take it from there. I found the doghouse stuff, by the way. If anybody's looking for the doghouse over there in the office, I got it. Susan Tompore's column. When it comes to Detroit proud, Kid Rock hits all cylinders with his song, Times Like These. Some days driving north or south in Woodward, I get a bit choked up when I hear him sing, I heard him say they're shutting down Detroit, but I won't leave because this is my hometown. Those are fighting words, a kind of don't you go there spirit that keeps this town kicking. And yes, the kind of words that make Kid Rock a popular personality here. Made in Detroit. So why in the world are Kid Rock's high-end Made in Detroit t-shirts made in the Dominican Republic? or some other country. Oh, really? Sort of takes a knife right to the heart of the whole thing. On top of that, many of the adult-sized Made in Detroit shirts no longer have any labels to tell you exactly where the T-shirts themselves are made. The design originated in Detroit, but the blank T-shirts aren't from here. The Clarkson Company buys the cotton canvases from suppliers and then adds a design. But where are those unlabeled Made in Detroit shirts made? And where are some other notable shirts made, including others bearing prideful slogans such as Say Yes to Michigan or Imported from Detroit? Susan Tompor finds Detroit Pride gear is made worldwide, or even worse, in Ohio. You know, what is so... You know, when it comes to making T-shirts or selling T-shirts, do we really have a rivalry with Ohio? Isn't Made in Ohio better than Made in the Dominican Republic?
Of course.
Is that really that bad?
Of course.
The Made in Detroit brand has a heart-tugging story to make you want to believe that this brand, now owned by Kid Rock, is doing what it can. The brand launched in 1991, hit the skids in 2005. The Motor City rock star later bought the brand out of bankruptcy. Today, Made in Detroit is more than a Kid Rock brand. It's the official mark of a movement that belongs to all of us, says the website at www.madeindetroit.com. Born to represent, this is Made in Detroit. But many of the T-shirts are missing a mark, a label telling exactly where the garments are made.
It's T-shirt time!
I first heard this T-shirt manufacturing issue raised by a Free Press editor who read critical remarks online. I'll admit my first reaction was, who has any clothes that aren't made somewhere else outside the U.S. shopping for clues? Are the Made in Detroit shirts made in China? I did some shopping, later reached out to Made in Detroit, a trademark owned by an entity called Bobby Moscow. Oddly, it's not tough to find plenty of Detroit shirts. I examined my imported from Detroit T-shirts at home. What's on that label? Made in USA, the track shirt, American Apparel. The original imported from Detroit T-shirts, which rose out of the popular M&M Super Bowl commercial for Chrysler last year, are indeed made in the USA. The Chrysler brand team felt it was important that the products were produced here, said Diana Gutierrez, a spokeswoman for Chrysler. What about other shirts? I visited Pure Detroit in downtown Detroit, where Pure Detroit shirts had labels showing they were made in the Dominican Republic, Peru, and the USA. I went to trendy Caruso Caruso in Birmingham, one of many official retailers for the Made in Detroit brand, listed at www.madeindetroit.com. On the shelves, I found vintage-inspired T-shirts, including a Boblo Island T-shirt, $28, made in the USA. There was a Say Yes to Michigan shirt, $28, made in Ohio by Homage, the small to medium-sized company based out of Columbus. That's kind of ironic. I also found a Made in Detroit shirt selling for $40 with a label that said it was made in the Dominican Republic. When I took a ride to Incognito in downtown Royal Oak, I found a Made in Detroit baby onesie priced at $22 and made in India. And I saw a toddler Made in Detroit pink shirt priced at $18 made in Honduras. But I did not find any label where an adult-sized Made in Detroit shirt in Incognito was made. Sort of keeping that manufacturing process incognito, I guess. I later took a drive and met Tommy Duback, who runs the operation for the Made. here it is. Oh, I think I got it. Where was I?
Made in Detroit, probably. You stopped with Made.
I'm totally lost.
I would think the next words would be in Detroit.
Yes, made. It is. Made in addition, we have never laid claim to our items actually being made in that's a Kid Rock response. What the bleep? God damn it. Crap!
Yeah, boy.
I don't have the third page. Christ. You know how much... You get the point,
the
don't
point
you?
Is clear. Yeah. And the fun is reading his response anyway.
Exactly.
That's pretty much the gist of it. It's pretty clear what her point was.
And I found it kind of obnoxious. She talked to Made in Detroit, but obviously there was no desire to give them the benefit of the doubt. I certainly would have wanted to include at least a response from them. Just the last page?
That's right where you left off.
Okay. Operations for the Made in Detroit brand out of a rural area in Clarkson. Kid Rock's brother, Billy Ritchie, who's a teacher, joined us. We're trying to do as much as we can to help Detroit. Sid Ritchie, who said he's not in the payroll. This is Tamp. This is Tom Pors?
Yeah.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, remember, she was meeting with the Made in Detroit people. That's where you left off. You said, I later
right.
Drive and met with Tommy Dupek, who runs operations for the Made.
In Detroit brand out of a rural area, Clarkson, Kid Rock's brother Billy, who's a teacher, joined us. We're trying to do as much as we can to help Detroit, said Richie, who's not on the payroll for Made in Detroit. In 2008, Kid Rock and Wayne State University established a partnership that involved a limited edition Made in Detroit T-shirt. Proceeds funded a $25,000 student scholarship. Not bad. The Maine Detroit brand also is proud of building sales for smaller mom-and-pop retailers in suburban towns, including Berkeley, Plymouth, Royal Oak, and Roseville. What about labeling? Dubak knows some critics ask, why do you guys cut the Maine Detroit, Made in China tags out? Dubak said the t-shirts aren't made in China, knowing that higher-end clothing lines are made in China, not t-shirts for a smaller company. Some shirts sold with the Maine Detroit designs are made in the U.S., he said, but others can be made elsewhere. Dubak said it sometimes can be hard to know where a t-shirt will be made. One manufacturer can have the same shirts made in one or two different countries. He said, right now, the Maine Detroit operation, which has 7 full-time employees, uses 8 or 10 different manufacturers. Asked about the lack of some labels and some shirts. Boy, a little obsessed here, huh? Dubak says he's cut out labels from some t-shirts that are bought from suppliers as part of the design choice. He wanted to use an imprint near the neckline that lies flat on the material and uses a screen print process. Why cut out the tag? I hated tags in my shirts, he said. Are companies such as Made in Detroit allowed to cut out labels and eliminate the country of origin? Dubak said he believes he can, and the country of origin would be needed if he was shipping the items internationally. Labeling rules are complicated, but t-shirts are not exempt from labeling, and failure to disclose where a t-shirt is manufactured can lead the Federal Trade Commission to take action, according to Matthew Wilshire, staff attorney at the FTC. Goods covered by the FTC text and regulations, including t-shirts offered for sale to the general public, must have a label disclosing country of origin. Companies can substitute new labels for old labels, but those labels must still disclose country of origin. Regulators did not address specifics of the Made in Detroit shirts. Like Kid Rock, the t-shirts are popular. The Roadshow in Roseville. So she actually went to the FTC, I mean, potentially busting Maine Detroit for that's really nice. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The Roadshow in Roseville says it appreciates the traffic the Maine Detroit website brings to the store, which sells snakes, spiders, rock and roll items, and t-shirts. It's a pride thing. People are proud to be Maine Detroit, says Josh Hoffman, manager for the Roadshow. His father, Bruce, the owner, said he thinks people who buy the Maine Detroit brand don't focus on where the t-shirt itself is made. Who freaking cares? It's the message, right? Okay, it'd be nice if the shirt was made in Detroit or made in the USA, but are we really? I mean, don't we sort of know the story? How many American cars have all American parts, all American assembly?
Yeah, haven't we
figured out that's sort of a zero?
Oh, yeah, we figured that out totally. We've known that for years. Absolutely. Oh, my God, you have transmissions that are made, and you have some of the engine components in Germany. Some of the transmissions are – I mean, cars are – the parts come from all over the place. Some of the pieces in Mexico and some – then sometimes they're assembled here. But, everything is an international effort. People go where they go to save money.
I mean, she's really – this just gets a little ridiculous and repetitive. I mean, okay, at some point in the story, it's obvious – okay, yeah, they're not all made in the U.S. Certainly, I'm sure they wish they were. They're not. Is it really a big deal? The shirt's been successful. It's helped some of these retailers. Isn't that a good thing?
Well, yeah.
It pays for a $25,000 scholarship every year.
That's right. He's created some jobs with it. And the future plans down the road to build a warehouse and get more of the and build them here and create them here. You know, is underway.
And worse yet, I don't know, I get this feeling, the more I read of this story, and there's not much of it left, but it just is sort of creating this kind of seedy feeling about, boy, there sure is some weird stuff going on at Made in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to Kid Rock, one thing I think for certain about Kid Rock is that he's sincere about what he's doing. He does charitable work all the time. I think there's one guy who deserves a pass. If anybody deserves a pass in this town, it's Kid Rock. And I would certainly expect that if some columnist were going to write a at least pointed and kind of a, I don't know, it's not a real flattering story, I would think it'd be from somebody out of town. I wouldn't think it'd be somebody right here.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
I would
so.
Think somebody here would give him the benefit of the doubt just because it's probably a good idea anyway, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and it's been no secret what he has done for the community.
That's
not hard to figure that out. And he points out in his letter, too, the documents that they provided her to include in the story were left out. Clearly she was out to frame the issue a certain way and everything else be damned.
I have no doubt that whatever's going on in Made in Detroit, nobody is trying to rip anyone off. It's just another charitable effort on Kid Rock's part that, maybe it's not perfect. And I suspect that when they can get all the shirts made in the USA, I would imagine they would.
I can't think
of any reason in the world that they wouldn't.
Right.
And
it's a new effort right now. I mean, this stuff is relatively new. Right now, it's been the business of rescuing the company that was doomed.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
come on. Texas plants have ever been in Detroit anyways. You know?
Well, exactly. You know, that's why I couldn't believe she's ragging about getting shirts from Ohio.
I mean,
it's not.
Sure there's probably one factory that makes shirts in the state.
Well, when it comes to.
It's not known for being a textile state.
Do we consider the T-shirt battle to be similar in any way, shape, or form to the Michigan-Ohio State battle? I mean, isn't that ridiculous that she's actually kind of suggesting that getting shirts from Ohio?
No, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, just a couple more paragraphs. Not everyone's happy about the Made in Detroit style. Robert Stanzer, who worked to build the Made in Detroit brand in 1991, later worked as a consultant when the brand was brought out of bankruptcy. Now as a new brand, Detroit Manufacturing. He charges that the Kid Rock operation is just an ATM to them. Dubek said he brought it out of bankruptcy, but now as a new brand. Okay. Dubek said the Made in Detroit brand is proud of what it's done so far and wants to do more. We're a small company. We're trying to do good for Michigan, knowing that Kid Rock does not take a salary or expense anything. See, what's he getting out of all this? I mean, sure as hell doesn't need a headache from some nosy reporter.
Yeah.
Christ. He's never charged a tank of gas to these companies. Would it take a heroic effort to get a T-shirt made in the U.S.? Dubek, who used to run the parts and service department for the Lincoln Mercury dealership once owned by Kid Rock's father, said it would cost more for Made in the USA T-shirts, but said the company's working towards more USA-made shirts. I hope that works out. So Kid Rock responds.
Oh, this is the beauty. This is too much fun.
Let me first start off by cordially inviting you to go F yourself.
How do you love how fantastic is that right there? Cordially invite you to go F yourself.
I've always said I do care what people in my hometown think of me. And the hatchet job you've just written about the Made in Detroit company and the Detroit Free Press has made me so upset I'm left with no choice but to defend myself and my company. I purchased MID out of bankruptcy and asked a friend of mine to give up the security of a good-paying job at a car dealership for a chance to help revitalize this brand. The goal of MID is to reinstill a sense of Detroit pride, give back to the community, try to create jobs in our home state, and maybe one day build our own facility somewhere close to the riverfront in Detroit. We've succeeded in most of this and have big plans for the future, not to mention the scholarship fund we've created at Wayne State, the numerous scholarships we do every year, and the hundreds of thousands of dollars we've given to local charities, all of which somehow had no place in your attempt to slander us in your article. You failed to say that the majority of our products are, in fact, made in America. Let me address the small number of MID products not made in America, which were explained to you, but that you felt unimportant to print as part of a well-balanced and fair story. You didn't care about printing the fact that 98% of all clothing sold in America is not made in America. 98%? Wow.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
No, I'm not surprised either. It's very difficult to even find quality and affordable U.S.-made products. Lord knows we've been looking from day one, not only for the MID brand, but also for the Kid Rock merchandise we sell on tour. You know, this is not exactly a guy who wouldn't know something about this. I mean, if Susan thought about this, as much as he tours and sells
merchandise,
they go through T-shirts like crazy.
Oh,
I mean, really,
God.
Do you really want to, I mean, is this really something you want to argue with Kid Rock about?
Well, she made a mistake, I'll tell you that.
A simple phone call to my KR merchandise company, FEA, or calls to our suppliers or any other clothing company in America would have told you this. The majority of the clothes that are made in America still import the cottons and other parts needed to make these items from outside of the country.
God. This is a well-written letter, really.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah, they put some thought into it. They really did.
In addition, we've never laid claim to our items actually being made in Detroit. It's been on our website since we took the company out of bankruptcy, what we are about. Made in Detroit's created jobs for people in and around Detroit. We've made money for local merchants and donated money to many local charities on behalf of MID, Badass Beer, and the Kid Rock Foundation, along with creating 7 jobs at MID alone. As the owner of Made in Detroit, I've never taken a dime of salary or profit or even expensed a meal. We, like most brands in America, use some products that are not created in America. This doesn't mean we can't do better. We're trying to move away from those products while still keeping our prices affordable and keeping us in the stores that depend on us in business. You'll find a list of things we've done with MID below, in which we are extremely proud, and because of these and many other things I've been able to do, I walk around my hometown with my head held high. You and your editors ought to be ashamed of yourselves for not only entirely missing the point of what we do, but trying to knock down MID. Myself and other local brands have done nothing more than try to prop our city and state up. I'll finish by saying, as a result of your article and the lack of respect from not only you, but from your editors, Detroit Free Press, is on my bleep list, and my subscription has been canceled.
I love that. And to see these words spelled out all the way, the F word, the S word,
is
so
nice.
Potent. Wow.
And yes, I will go so far as to ask other like-minded folks to do the same if they're tired of garbage, irresponsible reporting like yours. If there's one thing I've learned from growing up in and around Detroit, it's don't take any bleep from no one and be proud of where you come from. I am. F you. And to the bloggers and press, if you choose to only print part of my statement, please give a link to my website or make my whole statement available on yours. Sincerely, Kid Rock. If you're interested in a fair look at the clothing industry in America, check out this NBC News, and then there's something linking an ABC News report.
And the F-U spelled all the way out and all in capitals at that point
was really a nice
touch. Just an enormous, you know, F-U all the way. Wow.
What a lousy target, though. I mean, just the premise of this. What a lousy target. What is somebody really – there's so much to write about in this town right now. And, oh my God, some of those Made in Detroit t-shirts are not made in the USA or in Detroit. In fact, there's some made in Ohio. Oh my God.
I don't know what would have possessed her to decide that, boy, this is something to write about. This is something to research and tear apart. I mean, seriously, really, what a bizarre choice.
I mean, I would have guessed all the things that he pointed out in his article or his response. I would have guessed he doesn't take money out of Made in Detroit. That it's just something he's doing to generate goodwill. I mean, generally speaking, I think that's what a lot of his extracurricular things, almost all of them are charitable efforts.
Definitely.
I mean, this guy is really pretty bulletproof when you think about it.
Oh, there's no question about it. And he's so active downtown. It's incredible. I'm amazed you could be that naive as to not realize this guy, his love of local businessmen in trying to get this town up on its feet and do all he can in that respect. It's incredible. Did she really think he was going to lay down for this, too, and let this article just stand out there like that? Just kick him right in the nuts? And
you know what else sucks? And Kid mentions it at the end about the bloggers and posters. Well, you know, it sounded like Susan originally saw some posts or some blogs of people who were possibly grousing about, hey, did you know the Made in Detroit shirts aren't all made in Detroit? Maybe I should get some stuff in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, like it's such a scandal. You know, it's like the Kathy and Frank Gifford scandal with the clothing made in China and all that. On a local basis, it seems like is the attitude.
You know, if you think how about Apple, which... Wait, is it Apple stock at $500?
Yeah.
Apple stock is $500 today. Apple has their stuff made, their iPads and many, many other things made in, what's the town in China, Mark? Do you remember offhand?
I don't remember the town.
Well, anyway, it's a place that hires.
Com or something was the company.
Right. But didn't they have 12-year-olds working there? 12, 13, 14-year-old kids working there, working sometimes 14-hour days, 6-7 days a week, many, many suicides because it's so bad to work there. They are pushed so hard to make these Apple products. And, I mean, what a story that is. And yet, you know, I saw that on CBS News on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. I haven't heard a word about it since.
Aren't you amazed?
Oh, is it starting to...
It's been a pretty big...
I mean, this thing with the netting around the building to catch people...
Yeah, the
building jumpers.
Yeah, so there won't be any more suicide attempts.
Aren't you amazed that there isn't a gigundous... I mean, when you consider something like that with suicides and all this stuff at the expense of so we can all have iPads, wouldn't you think that there would end up being all kinds of protests and people boycotting the Apple product? And I mean, in a mighty way... I mean. It still seems quiet.
I gotta tell you, Mark, I watch a lot of news and I have not seen nearly as much about this story as I thought I would. When I first saw that story on CBS on Sunday morning, I thought, wow, that's a big story.
How big Frank and Kathy Gifford was. I mean, everybody heard about that. And every corner of every, you know, in this remote location you could go, everyone knew about that. This is absolutely, I mean, to have people killing themselves like this right now.
Foxconn makes, you know, the Kindle, PlayStation 3. They make Wii's, they make the Xbox, they make every pretty much electronic, you know, gadget you can buy. So it's not just Apple.
Well, sure it's not, but and congratulations, they make a lot of big products, and I'm sure those products make a ton of money, but do they have to be at this factory? Is it so they won't make any money if they don't work at a factory where people commit suicide regularly?
Well, for they have netting around the building, when it's to that point, that's like, oh my God.
Should the anger be at Apple or should it be at China?
Well, if Apple knows about this and doesn't care, then I'm kind of pissed at Apple.
What about Sony and
Samsung? I'm not real happy with them either. I think that's terrible.
And Gateway and Dell.
I think that's horse bleep. And I'll tell you what else. I was shocked to watch the Shark Tank on Friday night, and I watch it every Friday night. I think it's a great show. And I think these guys probably don't realize just how knee-jerk they are about this, but there are people presenting products on that show who desperately want to make it in their hometown. You know, they want to start a factory there. You know, they really have a patriotic thing going, and they feel they can make a profit by making something in America. And the first thing these guys usually come back with, and I'm talking Mark Cuban, there's four or five other entrepreneurs in there. They go, God, what if you saved a few bucks by making that in China? And these guys will always say, hey, you know, I really want to make it in my hometown. We've got an unemployment rate at blah, and these guys go, well, I'll tell you what, if you made it in China, you could really make a buck, and they'll send these guys packing. And I think it's horrible how these guys sound like such, I mean, I understand you want to make as big a profit as you can, but Jesus Christ, I mean, are we ever going to get out of this trade imbalance if somebody doesn't maybe take a chance now and again, or at least, incomes and demands of workers in China are on the rise. That's why some of this manufacturing may come home soon. And that's what the administration, and I think this will become popular. I don't think it's just going to be an Obama thing. A lot of people are talking about trying to get this manufacturing, a lot of manufacturing back in the U.S. But yeah, screw all those people. I'm pissed off. If they know that.
What company, though, what manufacturing company has started in the U.S. and been able to stay in the U.S.? They're so few and far between.
Oh, yeah.
So they have no choice. If they have no choice but to be at a plant where 12-year-olds are working 14-hour days, then you know what? Come on, you can't. They can do better
than
that.
So much. Well,
they can
do
better than that. Trust me.
They could change our policies here. For one, I mean, they could the corporate tax rate. I mean, there's so many things that they could do to help these companies so that they don't send this stuff abroad. Right. That's just it. Some of the regulations, the regulations that are put on these companies, they make it almost impossible to do business in this country. And that's our government for you. And it's getting worse by the minute.
I tend to blame both governments, China and the U.S.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
Their shareholders are going to try and make as
absolutely
profit, even if it's a penny.
Yeah. I mean, made this such an anti-business environment. I mean, there's just, wow, it's incredible.
I think Apple's an easy target for a lot of people.
Because I think whoever's anybody that successful is going to really get slammed.
Number two company in the world.
Yeah.
But still, you know, when you're in a position like that, you got to watch what you're doing.
Right.
And I bet they knew that. Before that story ever came out, I have a feeling they knew damn well what was going on there.
You're right. And that's the thing as to whether or not they will just openly admit this or if they try to hide it.
And not only, you know, this is a far cry from what's going on at this plant in China, but, you know, I've read things about engineers at Apple itself who were so browbeaten by Steve Jobs, they worked 20-hour days for months, and they were just had the crap beat out of them by Steve Jobs. And I know Steve Jobs is such a smart, smart guy.
Oh, his
well, you know, I think he was a little smarter if he treated his people with a little humanity. And I think it's great that he's able to manage all these products that make life easier for all of us. But you know, at the expense of making the people he's closest to, the people he works with every day, feel like absolute crap.
Well,
that's terrible. That sucks.
The interview with him, that's just it. It didn't come out very well for him as far as a person. But boy, as far as the rest of it, wow. What absolute incredible vision. Well, he revolutionized the world in which we live with iPads.
There must be some reason they're working there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wow. And without him, it's going to be interesting to see the direction of Apple, because this guy's vision was just second to nobody.
Well, there are some other people, though, who Jobs has worked with over the years, who, you know, I think they get some credit, but possibly not enough. You know, the whole connection with Wozniak.
He saw mobile computing before anybody. And I mean, our PCs are almost obsolete now, thanks to this guy. But as a person,
but he's not the engineer.
But it's his idea that you know, and what he wants to develop that's incredible. You know, and knowing that they had the wherewithal to do it.
I'll never argue.
Really is amazing.
Steve Jobs is an incredible guy, and I read that book.
But as a person, yeah, the book and the interview that we all saw, yeah, it was shocking. Where all of a sudden, this is incredible what he's accomplished. But this guy's a prick.
Yeah, and not just to people he works with either. He's not the greatest guy to his family either.
He didn't seem too bothered by that either.
Well, you know what's interesting? As things change in his life, and you know, health is the great equalizer. He gets pancreatic cancer, and all of a sudden, things started to change the last couple of years of his life. And I think part of the reason that he wanted to spill this story to this author, and he spent hours and hours talking to this guy, and there were points in the conversation where it became, now, you are including this warts and all. You're not giving a one-sided ass-kiss Steve Jobs story, are you? And he goes, no, I'm really not. I'm learning more and more. And, there's a lot of great stuff, but there's a lot that's not so great. And I think Jobs realized, I don't know if he really had strong regrets, but I think he regretted the way he treated some people. And, he tried to make amends with his daughter, his first baby mama daughter. You know, he didn't see this kid for, the first 16, 17 years of her life? I mean, this kid...
denied she existed, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he wanted the woman to take a paternity test, and she had slept with no one besides him. It was his kid, and I think he knew that. But, I don't know. That's just... what's going on at that plant is I'm amazed. Well, no, I'm not amazed. To think that China gets such an easy... off on this, it seems that people always think, well, the U.S. ought to care. They're supposed to care about stuff like that. The Chinese government's not supposed to care. Well, damn it, they ought to care. And their people, I don't think it's so bad necessarily. These workers are starting to demand more. I hope they keep it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wish people would get as upset at the regulations put on these businesses and the corporate tax rates and all these things that are driving businesses to these other countries to get this stuff done cheaper. I wish there was equal anger at that. And it seems like most people, they're not angry about it, they don't even realize about it. When they find out, they really don't care one way or the other.
I don't know why we need a 35% corporate tax rate. That's
crazy.
Seems like it's,
that's insane.
Look at all the people who've gone overseas and have their home offices in these places like Switzerland.
Yep.
And come on. And people like GE, when General Electric does something like that, I mean, that's a pretty desperate move.
Intel.
That's right. That's right. All these companies want out of here under that sort of thing. It's outrageous.
Eric, you there?
Yeah, hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Hey, I was just wanting to make a point. I was thinking these corporate bailouts with the auto companies in particular, I was thinking, why couldn't the government have written some type of stipulation? And I don't know the logistics behind it, but why couldn't they say, yes, we'll help you, but we need to bring some of this manufacturing back here and just put some kind of massive tax or tariff on anything that they ship overseas in terms of offshoring or manufacturing overseas, because I mean this is a real problem still.
I don't know why we're not more creative when it comes to this. Why does it seem there's always a trade imbalance, for example? Why would we not be on the winning side of the trade imbalance once in a while? I mean, for all the weapons we have and all the not to mention all the blackmail we could use or all the power and we should have these people over a barrel. Why do we let this happen?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm all for buying American, but why can't we get more into this hire American, make it in America? We need to bring this stuff back. It just doesn't seem like they're making any effort still to do this.
No, they're making it worse. The regulations they're spinning every day, they're making it even worse for business.
Well,
I mean, this administration is at war with business. There's no doubt about that. In the private sector, it's incredible. And now they're after aviation. It's incredible,
well,
man.
Well, they took our money to fix this, but yet, I feel cheated almost.
Your view had something to say in this. I understand what you're saying. There is talk now, more talk than I've heard in quite a while, about doing something about trying to get some manufacturing back into the country. And, thank God. And I saw somebody discuss this in a letter to the editor the other day, and I agree. Some people are acting like the GM and Chrysler would have died and they would have just liquidated if the government had not helped them. No, they would have gone bankrupt. They would have operated through bankruptcy and they would have come out of it one way or another. And certainly I doubt we would have wanted to go through that. But, I mean, isn't this a pretty good example of the fact that manufacturing can be done here and create
it
jobs?
Can. Absolutely.
And in a good economy, it can be really good for us.
Absolutely.
And so why don't we apply it to some other areas? For God's sakes.
It's a very easy fix. You just have to have an administration that wants to do it and wants to make a good business environment.
Hey, how about some doghouse
music?
This
one doesn't.
Well, they have been talking about the manufacturing, and I'm glad to hear it. Whether it's just talk or not, hopefully it catches on with somebody. If they're not sincere about it, hopefully somebody else will be sincere about it if they aren't.
Yeah, let's hope.
Again, we've got some gift cards to Thrifty Florists with bouquets starting as low as $9.99. Vase arrangements starting at $19.99. Gift box roses, $38.99 per dozen. Also pick up a gift card to Lover's Lane, reminding you to be the candy this Valentine's Day because the couples that play together stay together. And a gift card to P.F. Chang's China Bistro in Troy at the Somerset Collection. And here we have Clem, who says, my wife is about 8+ months pregnant with our first child. Now picture this, I'm in bed reading, and she comes out of the shower with a towel wrapped around her. And to help you with the visual, she's 5'1". Before she was pregnant, she weighed about 110. Now she weighs about 150. Oh boy.
150?
Yeah.
5'1"?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, she's pregnant. Yeah. She's 8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
So anyway, she drops a towel and says to me, okay, honey, if you want to have sex tonight, it's probably going to be your last time. I looked up at her and I said,
uh-huh. Without take a rain check,
without thinking, I said, I'll pass.
Oh, man. Ouch.
She said, you dear bastard, you did this to me. Started crying and has cried off and on since Saturday.
Oh,
I kept trying
no.
to hug her and tell her how beautiful she is. No response except except one F-bomb. I'm starting to think I may never have sex again. You guys may be the only hope to move from the basement back to my bedroom. Oh, get this guy out of the basement. Jesus. Come on, Clem. You got to think a little more. Use your head.
Man, what a disaster. That's going to be a long time, if ever, to get over that.
Well, his last opportunity's over anyway, so he's about, what, 6 weeks after she drops it?
Jeez.
Plus whatever time until she drops it. Oh, boy. Doghouse. My buddy and I were working on reupholstering a sweet boat in the shop on Saturday a few weeks ago. This thing was 30 feet of pure testosterone, one of those that looks like it's going 120 miles per hour, even on the trailer. Anyway, we're making the cabin into a mini Playboy... Playboy screw nest. Uh-huh. And I'm down in the cabin working away, loving life. Talking to Bill, who's working in the cockpit seat, so I'm just rambling on about how many little hotties we could be banging with a boat like this. And he thinks we could get an invite to Jobby Nooner with this guy, because I sure like looking at all that young tang with their boobs popping out.
Yeah.
Well, I knew Bill was out there, because I could hear him shuffling around in the cockpit, but he wasn't saying anything, so I popped my head out. As I'm asking how many drunk chicks this thing might hold, only look straight into my girlfriend's really pissed off face. I don't know if flowers are going to calm her down or not. It's been 3 weeks and I still can't sleep in my own king size bed. I'm stuck on a single in the spare room with my flatulent old hound dog. Any help is appreciated, guys. And maybe Jobby Nooner before I get laid again. P.S. Please send a box of crap to my friend Bill for not warning me, at least. Yeah, come on, Bill. Why don't you make some noise? Start a loud conversation or something. Jesus. Have some resources. Help that guy out. My God. Was that bad? Subject, Doghouse. Long-time listener, you guys got me in some trouble. You advertise Dr. Roche all the time. New tubes. My good-looking Mexican wife has 2 daughters from her first marriage in Mexico. The 21-year-old came into town. Wow, she is hot. She wanted new tubes. I, of course, mentioned Dr. Roche, and off she went to get some new tubes. After the surgery and the healing process, she started to flirt with me and asked if I wanted to look at her new tubes. I guess for a moment I forgot about being married to her mother. I told her I'd love to play... What? I told her I'd love to play with... What? Get out of here. Mm. My wife walked in. Oh, come... Who printed this garbage? Needless to say, my wife left and went out of town to visit relatives. She could not bear to see me, so we talked over the phone. Yeah, here's his face. It's ridiculous. I hate, you know, there are actually stories I've heard about people getting new tubes for their daughters, for their graduation presents.
Oh, definitely.
That stuff does actually happen.
Oh, of course it does.
It amazes me.
I know it. There's been a lot of newspaper stories about that. Incredible.
Well, my story goes like this. My fiance's sister is a stripper and porn star. Is this another fake one, Mark?
I haven't seen these.
Her boiler in her house took a crap. So me and a friend were there installing an actual furnace and had to run flexible ducting throughout her crawl space upstairs. Crawl space happens to be in her room. Well, while we're upstairs working, we did not notice that she was in bed sleeping and she'd just gotten a new puppy. The dog had been crapping all over the place, and she wasn't cleaning it up. Anyway, we're up there. God, that's nice. We're up there for 2 hours. All we do is talk crap about her and crack jokes about the dog crapping and her being lazy and not cleaning it up. She heard all of this for 2 hours, so now I'm in the doghouse with my fiance.
Oh, man.
If you were there, you would understand some of the horrible things that were being said and that she heard. Please help. Well, if they're doing the work, my God, they've got to be up there. Couldn't she at least? I mean, that's really, well, what a house and what a room of skank.
Well, and what they're saying is true, too. I mean, come on, clean it up.
That is really bad.
Piles of dog crap all over the house.
You know, if I'm ever at a strip club, and I haven't been in one in a long time, but if I'm ever at a strip club, I sure as hell don't want some girl in my lap who's got dog crap all over the house. That's disgusting.
Gross.
What a stripper skank.
God. Ugh.
Bad enough being a skank, but you have to be a sloppy skank with dog crap all over the place.
Ew.
Jesus.
Ew.
we got a few left. If you want to email in a decent doghouse story, we might even take some calls at some point. But Saturday Night Live, you know, we're talking about this manufacturing thing, and Mark put up the Eastwood things. They had the Bill Hader doing the Clint Eastwood thing. Did you see these?
Yeah.
God, they were really funny. Clint Eastwood kind of doing a follow up on his Chrysler commercial.
During the Super Bowl, I said it was halftime for America. I said Motor City's getting back on its feet. I tried to make an inspiring ad that would rally our country. But you dummies in the media thought it was about politics. Well, guess what? Halftime's over. We're in the third quarter now, America, and we're way behind. So I don't care if Obama runs the ball, or Romney throws a touchdown, or Ron Paul kicks a field goal with his tiny little chicken legs. I'll tell you right now, though, I ain't putting Santorum in the game. He can stand on the sideline doing cheers in his little sweater vests. Pussy. What's this commercial for again? All right, Chrysler. Get a Chrysler and get off my damn lawn.
Here's a Clint number two.
Clock's winding down, America. It's the fourth quarter, and there's no timeouts left. How do I know? My pants get higher every quarter.
His pants are up to his boobs.
That means it's overtime in China, and they got 1 billion people on their team. Plus, they own half our stadium. How they get so far ahead? Because they work hard. They're not all sitting at home stroking it to some GoDaddy.com commercial. They're busy making the jazzies that you ride around Disney World because you're too fat to walk. But good news, America. We got something they don't. Chryslers. We're going to drive them all over their damn field. Hey, Wang Chung, I hope you like eating tire because if a Chrysler hits you, it'll kill you. And again, I don't care who's driving. Though I know it won't be Gingrich, because his fat head won't even fit in the car. Chrysler, right? Think again. It's for Little Caesars. Pizza, pizza.
And they wrapped it up with this. By the way, what's his name coming up from Celebrity Apprentice? Lou Ferrigno. I can't believe Lou's on Celebrity Apprentice. I'm kind of pumped, actually. It's going to be interesting.
The game is over, America. It ended 2 hours ago. While you were bitching about my commercial, we lost to Mexico by 30 points. You like that? Te gusta losing, numbnuts? Remember how the Patriots let the Giants score the winning touchdown? We're doing that with Mexico on every single drive. Just letting them into our end zone, take our jobs, and drive our Chryslers. These Mexicans are like my pants. I've had them up to here. Anyway, check out the new Trojan Vibrating Massager. It'll blow your hair back. I should know.
Lou Ferrigno is next.
101 WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit. Drew and Mike.
I like how it evokes the concept of ass and butt.
101 WRIF. Everything that rocks.
The Fox Sports Detroit girls want you.
Do you have what it takes to be on Fox Sports Detroit during this year's April in the D celebration? The search is on now to add a new Fox Sports Detroit girl. Go to foxsportsdetroit.com for complete details.
Are you a man facing divorce? If so, listen carefully. Divorce affects all areas of your life, financially, emotionally, and mentally. It changes the relationship that you have with your children, perhaps even more than you think. My name is Joe Cordell, and I know how hard divorce can be because I've been there myself. Our firm works hard to protect the interests of men during the process. We represent men like you who want to protect their financial interests and the relationship that they have with their kids. Everyone involved in a divorce is affected by the breakup of the family. Cordell & Cordell seeks to help you through this difficult time and to ensure your rights are protected so that then you can move on with your life.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Call the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell, a partner men can count on. Offices in Troy, Novi, and now in Ann Arbor, 313-465-1999. That's 313-465-1999. Or visit online at CordellCordell.com.
Thanks for listening to Drew and Mike on the World Wide Web at WRIF.com. Detroit's world-famous Drew and Mike Morning Show. Online, worldwide, at WRIF.com. In the morning on 101 WRIF.
Well, a little snow on the ground this morning. Not much. That shouldn't bother a commute, should it?
Not, well, you know, the subdivisions and all that stuff is pretty slippery, but no, out there on the expressways, not at all. It's pretty much just a wet out on the expressways, but subdivision, you're going to slip around, no doubt about that, at least in
terms of... I have snow tires and chains, plus exceptional hand-eye coordination.
You'll be okay. Yeah, it's really not that bad. Although there'll be accidents, you know. There will be accidents.
Oh, yeah. We had like four of them out of the gate this morning.
Tomorrow, Mickey Redmond, talk about the Red Wings. Hopefully, the streak all to themselves.
I feel good about that. Don't you feel good about that?
Yeah. Well, especially after Sunday night. They just, you know, as much as the players are downplaying it. And actually, you know what? They were talking about it in the paper yesterday, and they seemed kind of geeked about tying the record. And I think if they're suggesting it doesn't mean that much, I think they're just suggesting that. I think they really want this thing. It's very cool record, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, nobody wants to. It's a superstition. A hockey player is most superstitious of all. And nobody wants to jinx a thing by talking about it. Nobody wants to get too confident or, I think it's one of those things where they're just kind of, oh, we're not going to pay attention to this. We're going to go out and just play hockey. And then when it happens, it's going to be like, yes!
Well, I think it's something that will add to the lore of Hockey Town having the longest home winning streak.
Fantastic.
And there was a lot of... There's a lot of hand-wringing over last year, the fact they didn't play that well at home. They had the great road record, but they just didn't have a good home year. And now this year they come back and they're 22-2-1.
Isn't that amazing?
Hopefully 23-2-1 after tonight. But the record...
Boy, how cool.
...that they're breaking, of course, the 75-76 Flyers and then 29-30 Bruins. Baseball, this is amazing. Baseball's record isn't that much more. Red Sox won 24 in a row in 88. The Pirates won 24 in a row in 78. Back in the Willie Stargell days, post-Roberto Clemente, but still Willie Stargell, Dave Parker. Yeah, those are some good teams. Giants won 26 in a row back in 1916, so that's really out of the modern era, but that'd be nice to pass.
Pretty interesting. It's all in the low to mid-20s, isn't it?
Yeah.
Regardless of the sport.
Until you get to the NBA, where the Bulls, and this is Michael Jordan's last 3 years, the Bulls won 44 in a row at home.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Holy Christ. So man, they're oh, man.
In, let's see, 95 to 97. Okay, yeah, that covers two seasons, not three, because that's the 95-96 season with the 96-97 season. 44. The Patriots in the NFL won 30 games in a row at home between 2008 and 2011. That's amazing.
Jesus.
Football team going 3 years undefeated.
Wow.
And then NCAA football, University of Miami, 58 home wins in a row from 85 to 94. 58 home wins in a row. And NCAA basketball, the Kentucky Wildcats from 43 to 55 won 129 games in a row at home.
129? Oh, man. Jeez.
And there have been some home streaks that have been broken lately. Duke had a 45-game home-winning streak. And, of course, the Spartans put an end to the Ohio State home record of 39 in a row.
So, uh-huh.
And amazing home records, all the teams this winter. The Spartans are 15-0, Michigan's 14-0, and the Red Wings, of course, with his 21-game streak, will be 23-2-1. Fantastic. So Mickey Redmond tomorrow morning. But today, we have some Hulk music or something. Lou Ferrigno, still very dear to his heart, the whole Hulk thing. And then later on, we did want to try and call. We think we've isolated the lingerie stores that Michelle Obama would have had her $5,000 lingerie shopping binge in. The Enquirer has a story. I'm insisting that the Enquirer is accurate as ever because they totally nailed Whitney Houston. The cover before this weekend was about how absolutely out of control she was. They got pictures of her looking all disheveled and sweaty and just a mess. Inside, did they have a story at the end of last week?
On Friday, they had a story about how bad.
That's right. I saw that. God, that's a kick-ass show. They did the whole show on Whitney yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah. In the Grammys.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's some interesting things coming out. Yesterday, I noticed her, the autopsy. There were some people taking information off the autopsy. They had her weight on there, for example, 150 pounds.
150.
150. What a bummer.
Inside Edition had her last meal.
What was it?
It was a big one, apparently.
It was a hamburger, french fries, a turkey club, and a bottle of champagne.
That didn't help any.
Well, you know, two days ago, that video that Sequest had in the pre-show, where the last video ever of her when she walked up to Clive Davis and had the infamous piece of paper, big ass. You know, she was looking not very thin there, I'll tell you.
I think her last meal was a two-egg
spinach and feta omelet.
Stop it. Hold it right there, mister.
That sounds familiar. No, that's Mike Clark's lunch or breakfast last week. Sorry. Easy to confuse it to.
I'm in the mood for a piece of blueberry pie right now. Thank God, you said
we don't have
that.
A bathtub.
So you're going to have to buy the whole pie?
Well, I wish they would have those little mini pies. That's what they should be doing. Joe needs to call somebody over there and get him with it over there.
I want
daily mini blueberry pies, and I want it now.
The Grammys, by the way, had almost 40 million viewers, 39.9. The biggest audience they've had since the year Michael Jackson won 8. Remember when Michael Jackson won 8 Grammys? When he took Brooke Shields and
Bubbles
and Manny.
Oh,
Manuel, what's his name?
Oh, Webster.
Emmanuel Webster.
And carried around Webster like he was a marionette.
Webster.
It was like he had his hand up in his back the way he was seated on his lap.
And she was being laughed at backstage because people were like, how could she go? How could she be his date?
Yeah.
And she didn't want to go. Her mother made her.
I think since then, wasn't she horrified?
Yeah, she was totally humiliated.
No, she looked absurd. She's like Lisa Marie Presley when she married the guy.
Well,
what a joke.
When Jackson showed up to get her, I guess he came to the door with Webster, you know, in his arms.
Her date shows up with Webster.
but not just like Webster on his feet, Webster in his arms. He carried him around.
Oh,
remember that?
No, he carries him around. It's like a ventriloquist with her dummy.
It's just ridiculous.
I mean, really, that's what he looked like. And then she had to get in the car, you know, next to, you know, here you sit next to the chimpanzee and put the little miniature fellow Webster over here and I'll sit up here and what a circus.
Oh,
what
man.
A carnival.
But they had
Jackson is
51 million people watched in 84, and that was and people knew Thriller was up for a lot of stuff, so it did win 8. And then last night or Sunday night, 39.9, so a hell of a night. That's a lot of people. I think the Grammys did about 27 million last year, so they were up 49%. It's amazing. And people knew the Whitney Houston thing was going to be big. Lou Ferrigno on Celebrity Apprentice. Got a really... Hey, what happened to... Whoa. Where'd my Hulk music go? Hulk? Mm-mm. Hulk music? The hell?
Uh-oh. Boy, it just croaked.
Negative. Who else is on Penn's on there. From Penn and Gillette,
of course, Lisa Lampanelli.
Clay Aiken,
which is the funny one, along with George Takei.
Oh, yeah.
Those two together just crack me up every time. I just can't imagine how that's going to go. I hope the two of them end up in just an incredible battle so that we'll have these two homos just ranting back and forth at each other. Clay Aiken all of a sudden hauls off and tells Takei where to head in. We'll respond with, oh, my.
Well... But first, hopefully, something romantic will happen, and then maybe some lover spats to follow.
I think that you wouldn't be able to prevent that.
We shall see. Oh, yeah, there's no stopping
that. No,
that's
a
foregone conclusion.
It's going to be their pelvises are going to act like magnets.
It's 30 degrees and some precipitation, depending on where you are at WRF on this Valentine's Day. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Very well. Looking forward to seeing Celebrity Apprentice. You guys got a really good lineup for this program. But I got to tell you, I've been so excited to ask you about training Michael Jackson. I saw you talk about it a little bit when Michael died, but that was all for real, wasn't it?
Yeah, 20 years I trained him. He was a close friend. I would definitely say when he passed away because there's nothing we ever expected.
It seems like it was kind of a secret, though. Lou, did he just not want people to know that he was working out, or what was why was that kind of kept quiet?
Well, I trained him for both tours. We were friends before that. And then he wanted to get in better physical shape. Then he came to me because he knew that I was thriving. He came to my facility. And you want to be around people while talking to him. So we cooperated on that.
Did you guys hang out?
Yep. It was fun. I mean, 10 o'clock to midnight, you know, sometimes 4 nights a week. I mean, we had a lot of fun.
Wow. It's funny to imagine you and Michael Jackson. You strike an interesting pair if you guys, like, went out for dinner or something. It's just kind of interesting.
Well, he loved love my passion for fitness. I love his passion for music.
Hey, of course. No, I'm sure you can relate to him. Yeah. By the way, I just saw I Love You, Man, for the third time. That is the funniest movie, Lou.
The best. The best.
Did when they brought you the script, did you have any reservations about it at all?
Well, John Hamburg, who wrote the movie, sent me the script, and he wanted to know if I liked it, so I read it. And then every time I do a movie, they always increase my part. So basically, he worked the movie, the script around me, so he knew that that would be a great part for me. So I loved it, and then we got it made. It was the best comedy of that year.
You know, it was a really very, very, very funny movie. And you don't really have statues of yourself, do you, Lou?
I got a smaller version.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because, you know, I knew you had to have a little bit of a sense of humor to the whole business of selling your house and, you know, being a shrine to you. But, I mean, that was part of what made it funny.
Yeah, it was because it's about romance and bromance.
Romance and bromance. Absolutely. Lou Ferrigno on the new season of Celebrity Apprentice premiering this Sunday. And, Lou, who do you think is going to be tough of all those people that, I mean, you've seen the list that you're competing with, anybody threaten you a little bit on that group?
Well, there's a couple of people I won't mention names that have a superior attitude, and I would not take a second seat to anyone. So basically, I just gave them a piece of my mind because of my honesty and my mental toughness. It was tough because of the gray cast, but it got nasty because nobody wanted to get fired, and it got pretty ugly.
You ran into some attitude, though?
A superior attitude.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I won't stand for that. I mean, you're so...
I'm trying to imagine who that would be. If it would be like Penn Jillette, he can be a handful.
I can't imagine. It wouldn't be Clay Aiken, would it?
Yeah, Clay's good. He's sweet, and he was very good. I'll say anyway, I love him. He was my favorite.
Clay? Who's your favorite?
Did you say Clay was your favorite?
Clay is a nice guy.
Yeah.
No, he definitely seems like a nice guy. Were he and George Takei, were they close, do you know?
Was that again?
Was he close with George Takei from Star Trek?
George, I got to know him on the show. I really like George because, you know, we're both iconic actors from science fiction. And, you know, George is probably one of the nicest people on the cast. I had a good time because we go way back, and he's a good man.
Oh, definitely. I just wondered if I thought he and Clay were friends going into this. Did you know if they were friends?
Inseparable.
I don't think so because they knew each other. I think everybody got along, but I never saw, you know. But George, I think, I believe George is married. I think he has a husband.
Okay.
He does, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So him and Clay didn't vanish for hours at a time or anything.
No.
Okay. Okay. And Penn Jillette, I mean, he's got a lot of energy. It seems like he could kind of drive everybody nuts just because he's so energetic, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Big guy, smart guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who tends to be the leader in the bunch? Who's the guy that seems to want to be in charge? Who's the most aggressive guy in the group?
Well, it's hard to say because I can't give away the show, but I would say Penn might be one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I thought he would be. He's just kind of a bossy, in-control guy. He's very funny, though. Penn is, I mean, did you get a sense for what a funny guy he is? I mean, is a lot of the humor going down? Like Lisa Lampanelli and Penn are both very funny people, but is there time for that?
Well, Arsenio's funny. He's hilarious. I think Arsenio's the funniest one.
Oh, yeah. Arsenio Hall, really?
Adam Carolla, he's funny.
Yeah, Adam's very funny. God, I hadn't seen Arsenio Hall in so long. Where's Arsenio been all this time?
I asked him that. I think he said he wants to spend time with his family. I think he's making a comeback. And he is funny.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him in years.
And Lou, you never got the feeling that that they brought you on there as fodder or anything like that, did you?
I was on what?
You never felt that that they brought you to Celebrity Apprentice to be fodder for some of the other people, did you?
No, I was very honest. And because of my determination and everything, I did extremely well.
Yeah, and actually Trump, I think that's one of the things he does on The Apprentice. He brings in people who have succeeded at something. It may not be something you would necessarily think of in terms of business, but it's usually something that they've driven to the top of, and you certainly made it to the top of your field.
Yeah, because being an athlete is hard because a lot of the athletes on the show, they just crash by myself because, you know, I've been branding myself my whole life and my determination. That's why I've done very well.
Lou, did you say a lot of the athletes on the show have been crashing?
There's some people I think they just mean, crashing means, like, for example, they just, like, can't handle the pressure. They just get cave in.
Right. Now, like, Dennis Rodman was not very successful. Yeah, I know what you mean, and I'm not sure why that is, though, because you'd think having gotten to the top of their sport that they'd be good at The Apprentice.
Well, don't get me wrong. It's a tough show. It's probably the hardest show most of us done. It was tough. It's all mental. And you never know what to expect in the boardroom, because anything you say, you can't take it back. And Donald Trump is very clever. And it gets really tough. And sometimes you want to just run out of there.
Did you ever have to, like, really talk strongly to Mr. Trump just to sort of defend your turf?
I kind of. I was very honest with him. And he respected my honesty. I never lied. He asked me a question. I gave him an honest answer. I never dodged any bullets.
Yeah, he doesn't like it when you dodge stuff, when you just don't want to answer for the sake of being nice. He doesn't like that at all.
Well, when you're in that boardroom, you know, you have business. I mean, you want to stay in there. You don't want to get fired. You have to be honest about the other teammates. And that's what caused all the problem, because you could be having a great time with five people, but then they turn around, they point the finger at you. I mean, you know, I was fighting for my charity. I wanted to make the most money. That's why I just had to be tough.
Yeah, you got to fight. If you don't fight back and you don't get right back in their face and you take that, Donald loses respect for you in a hurry. But the other thing is, Lou, is that because after a while, everybody forgets about the camera. And I would think that the celebrities have to kind of worry about how they're going to be perceived by people after the show, you know, because some people have kind of ruined themselves on that show. You know, they've lost control of themselves and displayed some kind of their bad side sometimes, you know.
Well, true, because, you know, you're being filmed, and then the worst part is that you don't know what everybody else is going to say about you.
Right.
Yeah, I know, until you see the show, so it'll be kind of fun to... Lou, what would you do if you were watching the show now in a couple of weeks, say, and somebody is just... You can't believe what they're saying behind your back. Do you think you would feel inclined to at some point, call them out?
Well, the good news is that on the show, I was honest in the boardroom. Any problem I have with anybody, I said it to their face. Even now, I can never say, point the finger back, say, I should have said that. It's done. They either loved me or they hated me for that. I didn't care. I was honest, and I just basically just fought for my own integrity.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Lou Ferrigno for you. Lou, of course, looking forward to seeing you on Celebrity Apprentice this Sunday night at 9 p.m. on NBC. And, you know, I still can't get over Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno. That is really – were you surprised that they were expecting you guys to be a combination Hulk? I mean, did you think Bill was actually a good version of the Hulk in real life?
Fantastic. Yeah, Bill's fantastic. Even today, of all the actors who play in the Hulk, I think Bill's still the best, because Bill was perfect. He was witty. He was smart. He was funny. And he was a great actor. I think he was the best David Banner ever.
Wow. And do you think it was credible, though, when he did have that reaction, when he turned into Hulk, do you think it was easy to understand how he would turn into your character? I mean, did that work, the physical transformation?
It worked perfect, because when he became the Hulk, you could feel it. You could feel it in your bones. I mean, it's so connected that it was like a power cord. It was just incredible, because he was so perfect, and the Hulk, the two of them together, you knew that it was like an explosion inside your body.
You heard it from Lou Ferrigno, and
yeah,
well described, Lou. It'll be fun to see how long you last on Celebrity Apprentice, and appreciate the time. It's nice talking to you, and hopefully we'll be watching you for a few months here.
Thank you. Check out ferrignofit.com. I tell you all about The Apprentice every week, about what I really have to say about it, everything about nutrition and bettering your lifestyle.
Ferrignofit.com?
That's right.
Thanks, Lou.
All right.
You're welcome.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lou's wild.
Yeah.
That's got to be really hard. I mean, how do they set that up? How can he hear us?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
He hears great.
Yeah, he does pretty well.
Oh,
it does seem something's missing there, but I guess he answered everything pretty straight.
No, he did. He was right there. He understood everything. It was like there wasn't a problem at all.
Should we check out Ferrigno Fit?
I know. Is he going to show up in the boardroom with the green paint on and his shirt all ripped up? God. I bet they keep him around a little. They probably don't want to dump him right away.
No.
That'd be too brutal, you know. What's the name of his website?
I thought it's at ferrignofit.com. Definitely a fan of Clayton's.
Yeah, boy.
I figure Lou to be looking for friends on a show like this.
Yeah, he's got probably any show, really.
Well, yeah.
Aw,
it's tough
to say that.
Well, you know, when you can't hear as well, you're at an automatic disadvantage for
anything.
And, I mean, I respect the guy. Look what he's done with his bodybuilding. He built himself up in his major, major presence in that business.
Why does hearing get so screwed up again?
I think it's from birth, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is too. Okay.
Here's Ferrigno Fit. I immediately want to go to Lou's photo gallery. Oh, here's Lou Ferrigno on Celebrity Apprentice. Look at Lou's. Look at Lou's logo. That big F. He thinks that's just the shit.
He loves that.
In the boardroom, Lou's gonna be challenged by Trump for trying to get people to join Ferrigno. And get trained by Lou instead of working on the task. Lou's recruiting people he can train.
That's right.
Oh, we can click on Lou's life lessons.
Oh, gee, how wonderful.
FerrignoFit.com, the website of one Lou Ferrigno.
Hello, I'm Lou Ferrigno. I'm here in my home gym in Santa Monica. We're going to talk about...
I had no idea, Lou.
The week today is about fear. Fear is huge. We all have fear in our life. You never want to be a slave to fear. Fear leads to the negative. Fear has to do with alcohol, has to do with obesity, has to do with drugs, has to do with everything in life. Could be fear of being bullying, could be fear of being told, being fat, being ugly, being stupid. Surrender and embrace fear.
Surrender and embrace fear?
That's important, because if you don't conquer that fear could affect everything else. You take action. That's your life lesson today. Surrender and embrace fear.
Thanks for the life lesson, Lou.
There you go.
Yeah, they won't toss him out. He will not be tossed out the first week.
No, no way. No.
I could see him going out.
Disposable chick go by.
I could see him going out like the third week. But, I don't know, did he make it sound like he's on there for a while?
Yeah, kind of did.
It sounds like he and Aiken are practically blowing each other by the end of this thing. Well, Celebrity Apprentice, Sunday night. And we'll all be rooting for Lou Ferrigno. And that was Lou. And Lou's life lessons and all. Many other
things. Arcs, no tires, Lou chains,
WRF.
Plus exceptional hand-eye coordination.
All right. It is 813 WRIF, Drew and Mike. Steam, I don't know why I remember this being a little more dramatic. I'm dying to see the rerun of that show now. Especially if I'm talking to Lou. Traffic's brought to you by the Fisher Theater. Looking for nothing but a good time, then get your tickets to see Rock of Ages at the Fisher Theater February 21st through the 26th only. Call Ticketmaster now. And they bring you Mr. Stress. It's still snowing, more or less sleeting at the radio station. Hey, Stress.
Hey, yeah, and because of that, there are some slick areas out here, to be sure, including 96 eastbound at Martin Luther King. So slick, you got a jackknife semi there that has all of that all blocked up. And we have another jackknife semi. This would be Schaefer Highway southbound just after Oakwood Boulevard. And that's all blocked because of that. Another accident, 75 northbound at the Southfield Freeway. Pile up there. And the traffic lights are screwed up, John R. Canfield. And let's see, I think that, yeah. The rest is all construction after that. So definitely some accidents. Freeway's not so bad. Side streets a little slick. Subdivision's definitely slick. That's it. That's a hell of traffic.
All righty. And Trudy's brought to you by Tax Faster. Get out of that upside-down mortgage into twice the home at half the price. And your debt, gone. It all starts with one call to Elias Realty, 877-CALL-WILL, 877-CALL-WILL.
Yeah, and insignificant trivia about Whitney Houston.
You know, Trudy, I'm thinking there's a ton of it out there now, but bring it.
Osama bin Laden loved her.
Yes.
According to the UK's Daily Mail.
I remember that.
Wanted to gift her a mansion that he owned in Khartoum.
Didn't he want to take out Bobby Brown?
Yeah, he was going to cap Bobby Brown's ass, or if he could have. Mm. He wanted to anyway. He said that she was by nature Islamic. She was just brainwashed by American culture and Bobby Brown.
Oh, okay.
So he wanted to kill him so he could get him out of the way, have his way with Whitney, make her one of his wives. Also, she was beloved by the character that Christian Bale played in American Psycho, so she has all kinds of range when it comes to admirers.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Right. The real bodyguard, not Kevin Costner, Alan Jacobs, served Whitney from 1995 to 2002, and he was on the Today Show, Good Morning America, and says the entire thing was a battle to keep her out of trouble, but at some point realized that Whitney and Bobby were like a tornado and a volcano, and either he had to quit or be fired because he just could not keep them out of drugs.
I said, you hired me to protect you, but I cannot protect you from yourselves. I took a stand. It was about 4 months later that we decided that it would be best to part company.
Relatives took over minding Whitney after Jacobs left her, and they've been doing a fine job, haven't they?
Well, you know,
I was relatives
watching,
who found her.
I was watching, Entertainment Tonight had some guy in there that was talking about how her minders were not supposed to let her take a bath. That was against the Whitney Houston rules. She was not to take a bath. Really? And if she was in the shower for more than 10 minutes, they were supposed to see what's going on.
Because she was in the bathtub for an hour with her bodyguards out front, outside of the door.
These minders weren't exactly doing their job. But can't you imagine her telling somebody to go F off if she said, hey, Whitney, you can't take a bath. It's against the rules.
And imagine somebody that's so out of hand that you can't even let them take a bath for fear that they're going to drown themselves.
Well, that's the first thing I thought of was,
I mean, how lame is that?
It wasn't going to last much longer.
No. If you reach a point where you got to guard the damn bathtub, give me a break.
a guard at the bathtub. That's great. That's what they should have had.
Isn't it incredible, the lifestyles, the thing? Oh, my God, people spin out. Jesus.
Yeah, but everybody reported that she seemed like she was okay, that she was on pretty good footing for the most part. And they report no signs of foul play, no traces of illegal substance in her body. That's pretty much all the L.A. coroner will say until 8 to 10 weeks from now.
Well, they're afraid for her to take a bath, and it doesn't sound like she was on very good footing there.
Well,
yeah, and what's reported and what's real? You know, the Inquirer.
Yeah, two different things. You never know.
The Inquirer was pretty pretty in her up her ass.
I would trust the Inquirer. They get it right.
There's some pretty good pictures. She looks disheveled. She always looks disheveled in all the recent pictures.
She did. Who was side by side with her yesterday? One of the last person to see her basically was her R&B friend.
Well, Clive
who was getting a Grammy that night.
And
she was on, I think she was on the Today Show saying, you're disheveled if you've been dancing for about three hours that night. That's why she looked that way.
Did you hear somebody was magnifying the vocal performance?
Mm-hmm.
They sang Jesus Loves Me, I think, and Whitney, hoarse as ever.
Right.
Extremely hoarse.
Yeah. By the way, they claim that the movie that she was making here, Sparkle, it needed a $2 million infusion to be finished, and it came out of her pocketbook, apparently. That was the last straw. That's why she was broken, bumming hundies off of people.
Wow.
That's supposed to screen in August.
Cash? She blew her last $2 million on that?
Yeah, New York Daily News is saying that she went to $100 million.
Where all this money went.
But
when
a lot of money.
200 million records, not counting merchandising and touring and all of that. How can you spend that?
High living.
Amazing amount of money.
The article says drugs and high living.
And you know that stuff was, you know, worldwide. Sales were going on every day. Wow. And all the interest, plus investments and all that. I don't know.
Anyway, you probably heard yesterday that iTunes cranked up the price of her songs. It wasn't iTunes. It was Sony. It increased her catalog price and drove the music up for downloads at Amazon and iTunes. It wasn't them. It was, Tommy Mottola, right? Isn't he the guy in charge there? And
used to be.
Walmart, according to the Today Show, allegedly is listing all Whitney Houston music as out of stock online. And some think that that's kind of the way to, when you bring it back on stock, you've got a price increase so it doesn't look like you just went and bumped the price up on her dead ass.
You can't be out of stock right now. That's crazy.
Well, it'll come back. It'll be in stock soon.
But look at what
just costs more. Because the price went up from about $4 for the Ultimate, I guess, Whitney Houston, to $12. From $4 to $12.
Nobody sells CDs for $12 anymore.
No, you're right. Anyway, her body is already at that funeral home. Tyler Perry got her there through his private jet. The other thing that's going on, though, is another bad husband case. You know, Gabe Watson of Alabama, he's now on trial here in the U.S. for drowning his wife on their honeymoon while they were diving off the Great Barrier Reef 8 years ago. Shutting off her oxygen tank. Everybody remembers that famous photo of him ascending. She was on the bottom. And now it looks like the trial's beginning. He did time in Australia for this. But there's no double jeopardy between countries. And so his lawyer claims that it wasn't that at all and that he didn't get the insurance payoff. Her father did. So he had no motive to kill his wife. The fetish community alleging that Big Bob himself had a bondage getaway a few days before his wife Jane's death with his slave girl Bella in a dungeon in Linkin Park, the voice-altered dominatrix who saw them together.
She was on his arm. It was very apparent that they came together and that they were together. He introduced her as his Bella.
From the Hank Winchester piece, anonymous sources are apparently screaming out of the woodwork from the S&M community about seeing them together, how heavily involved he was. That story on the heels of that other one about a plot that was supposedly going to inject Jane with insulin and then a blood thinner. Notice heparin. Joe Gentz was supposedly the stooge in this thing. He was supposed to procure the heparin any way he could find it. Once injected, it would cause her to bleed to death. And supposedly the plot was that they would put her in a car and it would look like a hit and run because there are lots of those in Detroit. Now, the person who asked Gens to procure the heparin had to write it down because he couldn't get his mind around the pronunciation or the spelling of the drug. Good Michigan news, though. Fuel economy for cars, according to the University of Michigan Transportation Center, says its new vehicles' fuel economy up an average of about 4%, 23 mpg, a 4% improvement over last year. And home sales in the state are up 7% from last January. Median sale prices up to $63,000 from an average of $60,000 the year before. Panty Bomber, he's going to see his doom on Thursday, but now he wants him to call the whole thing off because his panty bomb didn't detonate. And the only person that he hurt was himself when he burned his own junk up.
You poor can't Panty. Sit there and say because it didn't go off, therefore Panty. Didn't hurt anybody, therefore.
Panty, by the way, he sent these instructions out via his lawyer. I thought he was his own lawyer.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, I thought you were your own lawyer.
There's that mocking tone.
I thought you were representing yourself.
That's the judge. That's actual audio of the judge reacting to that. He says life in prison is unfair because, you know, he didn't really hurt anybody, and it's cruel and unusual punishments. Very much like the unusual and cruel punishment that would have befallen the 290 people aboard that plane, right? Had the...
It would be my honor to remove your panties.
Had it not been his junk that detonated, but the entire right. pair of panties.
How many pairs of underwear do you have on?
By the way, did you see the Hutari thing in court the other day? Their lawyer opening with the argument that they were just a social club. In fact, they were so not militant, they would cancel training sessions because it was cold or raining. The feds say, oh, no, we have conversations with them on the telephone laughing about how sad people would be if they started a war, starting with shooting a cop, then amplifying the battle by attacking officers in the fallen officer's funeral procession. And for a social club, they kept a small arsenal. 100 firearms, illegal short-barrel rifles, machine guns, and 148,000 rounds of ammo. Oh, that's nothing. I keep that in my basement.
It's a little bit right. of firepower.
A little bit. Flak jackets, camo, Kevlar vests, helmets, night vision goggles, and bomb-making instructions. Rick Santorum is ahead of Mitt in Michigan so far in the Michigan primary February 28th. He and Mitt, however, are kind of the buzzkills for the auto industry. They both thought the government shouldn't have bailed out the car companies. Oh, by the way, Debbie Spendit now?
Yes.
She owes Pete Hoekstra a thank you note for helping her earn almost $170,000 in donations to her campaign after he screened that Super Bowl ad with the snarky Asian girl on the bike in the rice paddy. It costs she gets $25,000 more than it cost Pete to air the spot trying to defeat her. The new conservative mission, by the way, this thing over contraceptives, have you been watching that very closely?
Which, with the Catholic Church?
Whether religious employers, if they object to it, should have to cover the cost of them for their employees. Well, this week, Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri complicated this argument by saying that any organization with any moral objection for having to provide birth control shouldn't be, they shouldn't have to provide insurance for it. So does this mean like a huge baby boom is maybe coming our way?
I thought this is sort of settled.
It was settled, and then it was reopened. Dog TV, a channel in San Diego that dogs will be riveted to, One of the shows is just a camera out of a car window, you know, from the dog's view.
Yeah.
With cutaways of the dog.
Very nice.
Who's enjoying air surfing out the passenger window, his ears flying back.
Cool.
There's also a show where dogs play in the park, in the pool, little squeaky toys. This was scientifically tested and developed for 4 years before they put it on, and it's $5 a month in case, you know, we can't get it yet, but
and
maybe
the dogs
we should.
Like it, allegedly?
Yeah. Well, actually, they do. You know, I don't know about you, but my cat actually notices when there are birds on TV always, no matter what he's doing.
Really?
He'll all of a sudden be, well, I see a bird, and, you know, go right up to the TV and try to touch it.
Yeah. Megs and Layla, when a dog barks on TV, they need to start barking. But when I say TV dog, they stop.
Oh, my God,
so
really?
They know what a TV dog is now.
Wow, Drew.
It's a dog they don't need to bark at.
That's brilliant training.
Yeah, he's got his thumb up that dog's ass.
Martha Stewart's Chow Chow. Hey, victory for my dog's, my breed. Her Chow Chow won Best of Breed at the Westminster Dog Show. And afterwards, she and her Chow went to Chow at the Plaza Hotel. Genghis Khan II sitting on a chair at the table.
Oh, my pretty little pet. I love you. So I stroke it, and I pet it, and I massage it. Yeah, I love it. I love my little naughty pet. You're naughty!
Her voice has changed a lot, huh? And, proof that people who Twitter and sometimes are twits. After the Grammys, one of the big Twitter trends were tweets wondering, who is this Paul McCartney? Which triggered a Twitter backlash from people who were furious with the twits who didn't know who Paul McCartney was, asking them to get off the planet. Shooty Daniels, Riff Rock Roll Radio News.
He's so ubiquitous. I understand if you're 20, he's certainly not on your mind a lot. But, I mean, it's hard to get away from him these days.
Well,
for guys not really on the charts so much.
Something that was just re-released was that big Beatles thing, 2 years ago? The repackaged Beatles?
Oh, the remastered?
Yeah. I mean, that would actually cross somebody's threshold of awareness, wouldn't it? Well, who the Beatles were?
I would think anybody.
Well, I guess they're handsome, though, according to Beavis and Butthead.
Anybody who's into rock and roll should know who the four Beatles are. I think that's almost required.
Jeez.
And their story, too. I mean, God, that's really that's such a turning point in this country.
Oh, God.
It's
bizarre.
Really the most important. I mean, in terms of modern history, isn't the Beatles coming to America pretty significant?
Oh, that's enormous.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're a young, if you're 10, 11, I would think just in the course of life, you're going to see the name quite a few times.
And you're going to go, who is that guy?
At some point.
But you think you'd figure it out eventually.
Yeah.
Plus the music.
Wow.
You still can't get away from Beatles music.
It caused quite a storm, though, among twit heads back and forth.
Well, you know, that's the thing bizarre about Twitter is we hear from so many people now. So many people have something to say. People that you would never hear from ever in your life.
I know.
Which was maybe for the better.
I know.
It was. It's close.
Yeah.
Everybody does have a voice now, don't they?
Yeah. Whether they should or not.
Yeah, the whole 15 minutes thing has become all too true.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beyond 15 minutes now. Nobody goes away.
Grammy's actually biggest rating since 1984. Huge. 39.9 million viewers.
That is big.
Yeah. Adele is having a pretty great week. She's in the front of Vogue magazine.
Yeah. Now what?
She's not going to be a whiny little witch anymore, she says.
She can hire a private trainer and get off some of that butt fat.
Well, no, she doesn't care about being huge. She really
she
told Anna
she
says it
doesn't
matter.
Don't people care, though? I mean,
I would think so.
Yeah, she does. She looks pretty
big,
pretty hot. You know?
I think she's 23 either. I want to check her birth certificate. I think she's like 35.
To be that young and that fat?
From the 60 Minutes piece, it looked like she had that going on her whole life. But
yeah, she's pretty, though.
She's a big one.
Yeah. She says she's never going to write another sad breakup song. Unless she runs out of money.
Right. Yeah. Did pretty well with that one, those 10 or 11.
Yeah. That bit on Saturday Night Live with all of the audience just crying, everybody who hears that song crying too. Did you see the 60 Minutes of the audience crying, weeping?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guys and women and men equally at her shows.
Boy.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Guys have become very weak.
Yeah. Judy Daniels, Riff Rock and Roll Radio.
You know the girls that were tweeting during the Glenn Campbell song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The whole place is going crazy, and there's two girls sitting in their chairs playing with their phones.
Uh-huh.
What is the story about those girls? They were identified, and they were being flogged online.
People were ragging them on Twitter, so one of them replied about how they were tweeting how much they respected Glenn Campbell.
I don't believe that either.
I want proof. Can you not tweet while standing?
I guess not. I guess they can't. That's funny, though, that they took that big a beating. They actually felt they had to respond.
They should have. It looked bad.
Well, I know. Throw them out of their seats. Jesus.
I can't believe it's a news item, these two people tweeting in the middle of all those people.
It's pretty funny.
And they have to have an accounting for it. Explain it to us.
How'd you think he did, by the way, performance-wise?
Glenn?
Yeah.
I thought he did pretty well. I mean, he's got early Alzheimer's. He remembered all the words. Now, something was a little weird at first.
Well, the ending was
weird. He sounded okay, though. Didn't he sound okay?
He sounded great, except for the end when all of a sudden he goes, what do you want? You want me to go over here or what? Or just shut up. But hey.
Oh, yeah. He kind of lost his direction momentarily. But you know what? Everybody does on those awards shows. Everybody walks the wrong way.
They do. Well, you know, shouldn't they have a giant arrow on the ground for people? Because no one seems to be able to figure out where to go if they win an award. And it really does take something away from it. It's like, oh, look at that idiot. Doesn't even know where to go.
No. I wanted him to continue to stand for a little bit because that standing O happened, and he was walking away pretty quick on that.
Oh, were Manningham and Cruz having trouble figuring out where to go?
No, they just Manningham sounded like a dope.
Yeah, that was
and the chick that
didn't work
out,
too
came
well.
Out with them, had no idea who they were.
Oh, definitely not.
It's like, hey, let's hear it for these giant football guys,
people,
guys. It's like, what are you talking about?
You know, I don't know why they sent her out with them. That was really not help matters much.
The cutesy moment too, like, oh, get the do your dance. Let's keep it on the field.
Yeah, that was a very odd. I don't know, it was really almost became awkward. It just didn't work, I guess. But you know, it does when they try to make too much out of who they send up there. It really just send people up there to read the thing.
Somebody noticed that after Dave Grohl made his announcement, they make great music. They don't need computers. Then the Grammys blasted LMAFO. They thought that was a major hit.
Because I guess Tyler Hawkins was swearing up a storm after Grohl. Or Taylor, sorry.
Why?
Because
of his acceptance speech. He was swearing. That's why they cut away.
Oh, is that why they cut away?
Oh, okay. Well, at 8:32, it's a big night. Big night in the Motor City. Not just because it's Valentine's Day and people are probably filling up the restaurants, but in sports, what could be a huge, huge event. Sports brought to you by DMC and DMC Rehabilitation Institute of Michigan. Get a leg up on your morning run with the free running app. Search Run with DMC in your app store and download now. Visit dmc.org/apps for details. Red Wings going for the longest home winning streak in the history of the NHL, which is, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the attention of this has gotten really big in the last week or so, but this is a really big deal. To win 20 games in a row at home, that's just huge. Here's Mike Babcock.
It's a great thing, and yet in saying all that is, you know, in this league, I say this all the time, if you win today, everything's okay.
Nick Lidstrom on the goaltending.
Our goals against is something we wanted to improve on, and Howie was, you know, spectacular for us there before he got hurt. And then, you know, Joey Mack came in and he's been playing real solid for us. So I think our overall defensive effort has been a lot better.
Well, in 20 games, they've given up 3 goals twice. Other than that, they've given up 2 goals, 6 times, and the rest 1 or 0. Just really amazing defense during the streak. And the offense, just enough offense to win for the most part. They had the 7-1 game against Winnipeg, 8-2 against Los Angeles. And they scored 5 goals 5 times, but a lot of 3-1s and 3-2s and 2-1s and, of course, all the shootouts. But pretty impressive stretch here and a chance to make it 21 and the record for the NHL tonight if they can just beat those pesky Dallas Stars. NHL suspended Flyers forward Zach Rinaldo for 2 games for launching to hit Jonathan Erickson on Sunday. That was announced yesterday. Ben Wallace says this is it. This is his last season. He will pass Avery Johnson for the most games played by an undrafted player since the ABA-NBA merger tonight when the Pistons host the San Antonio Spurs. Wow, what attention this new player for the Knicks is getting. Jeremy Lin. Unbelievable. He sets a record for points in the first five games as a starter in the NBA. I mean, how is that? One game or two games, you know, it would have been, well, gee, it was the greatest debut. But, well, yeah, that means something. But with a guy that you've never heard of, you probably figure, well, it could be a fluke. Now started five games and scored 109 points. So he's averaging 27 points. Well, in the four wins, I'm sorry, he averaged 27.3, 8.3 assists, and two steals. His 109 points, the first four career starts, are the most by any player in more than 30 years.
Unreal.
Just incredible. An undrafted player who a lot of people have tried to give up on, but not the Knicks, not at this point. The Pistons even talking about what happened after they beat the Nets on Friday night. Most of the guys usually will rush out to, you know, go get dinner, go hang out or whatever. Or some will stick around and watch the NBA game of the moment. And the entire team stayed and decided to watch the end of the Knicks game. Knicks playing the Lakers on that night. And that was the night Jeremy Lin had 38 points. And apparently the locker room just erupted with every Lin basket and eventually the victory. So this guy is really just having a wild start to his career. Then, let's see, we've got Loy Vaught, who's been arrested and released on a charge of disturbing the peace. The former University of Michigan player booked at the Kent County Correctional Facility Saturday, released Sunday. MLive reports that airport spokesman said Vaught allegedly caused a disturbance with his behavior in a passenger terminal building at the Gerald R. Ford International Airport. I don't know. Whatever. Your guess is as good as mine. AP Top 25, Spartans are number 7, Michigan number 17. Both teams moving up. In USA Today, Spartans at 8 and Michigan at 19. So not bad there. Freddie Solomon dies, the former 49er wide receiver who apparently spent some time with the Dolphins at some point. Died at 59, 371 career catches in an 11-year career. Randy Moss playing an NFL comeback at 35. He turned 35 Monday, so yeah, he'd be 35 when he's trying to make a team. 36 at some point during the season. And human defector Yanis Cespedes in the Oakland Athletics agreed to a 4-year, $36 million contract. Nobody thought the A's would step up for this. They just don't spend money, but he will be the highest-paid player on the Oakland A's. How strange. A Cuban defector becomes the highest-paid Oakland A.
Oh, man.
In October, the commissioners of Conference USA and the Mountain West announced the two leagues making plans to merge their football operations starting in 2013. Both left open the possibility the football relationship could grow into something bigger. Now, members of Conference USA, current and future members of Mountain West, are on their way to forming a new league for all sports beginning in 2013. And that's sports. 8:35, and Agent Provocateur, that is the lingerie shop where Michelle Obama allegedly spent $5,000 on some crazy lingerie binge. That's a lot of lingerie.
It certainly is. I wonder how much them panties cost.
Well, God, they must cost a lot.
Do we know what the lingerie consisted of? Were there some girdles in there?
No, this is supposed to be all sexy stuff. You know, the $500 bras and the...
Oh, boy.
Them panties is expensive, too.
Oh, boy.
But, let's see. Agent Provocateur. Have you heard of Agent Provocateur?
Never. Never in my life.
Must be pretty swanky.
It sounds swanky. And if she's going there...
Well,
to spend
what,
that kind of money, that must be swanky.
We've got a list of four. We kind of narrowed down where we think she was based on this story. It appears she's in one of two places, and we've got four phone numbers. So let's see if we can at least get them to acknowledge that they are indeed the lingerie store that sold 5G's worth of undies. 5G's worth of undies to Michelle Obama, if nothing else, right after this, in search of
101 WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit. Drew and Mike in the morning.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
101 WRIF. The Riff.
If you're a man facing a divorce, you may be feeling kind of lost and confused.
You should never confide in anyone who is trying to take your money and your children.
Attorney Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell is quoted by the Wall Street Journal.
Guys often have to work a little harder to be awarded primary custody. But when you're disadvantaged, you'll continue to be so unless you do what you can to help yourself.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell is quoted by the Wall Street Journal. The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Call the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell, a partner men can count on. Offices in Troy, Novi, and now in Ann Arbor, 313-465-1999. That's 313-465-1999. 313-465-1999. Or visit online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com.
Valentine's Day is today. Are you still looking for that perfect something to get your loved one? Listen up. WRAF has an exclusive offer for the first 15 callers. Call now and get this Valentine's Day special from Michigan's largest florist, Thrifty Florist. Call 888-THRIFTY right now and order a dozen vased red roses, a Valentine's balloon, and teddy bear for only $65.99. With your order, you'll receive a $50 gift certificate to Macaroni Grill for free. That's right, a $50 Macaroni Grill gift card for free. What an incredible deal. Guys, this is only available at Thrifty Florist for a limited time, so avoid the rush. Call 888-THRIFTY now and don't miss out. Or let the Thrifty Florist staff create a beautiful bouquet starting as low as $9.99, vased arrangements starting at $19.99, and wrapped roses for only $32.99 per dozen.